Listen how pretty this is. Listen how pretty this is. Hi, everybody. Bill F. Wendy Snyder playing pretty music for you. If you want to call in and request other pretty songs, 312-981-7200. Seriously?
Yeah.
This is Rihanna.
I'm proud of you.
Stevie Nicks.
You know, when I least expect you to know something, you whip it out.
You didn't think I would know this?
I knew this. You're good with the top.
Yeah.
The charters.
Top 40. As soon as the song is at 41, I don't know it. But if it's in the top 40, I can do it. Why did they choose top 40? Wouldn't top 50 have made more sense? Why 40?
I don't know. Let's get Bob Stroud
on. Let's get Bob Stroud on to talk about it. Okay. A lot going on today's show. We're thrilled that you're here. Jump in. Participate anytime you want. Here's a question that I don't know if you'll know the answer to, but I showed this to Kevin, our producer, earlier today. I get once a week, sometimes more, sometimes less, but let's say on average of once a week, I get a Facebook request from a woman who appears to be a supermodel who always knows one or maybe two of my friends. There's always something that says you have these friends in common with this girl whose name is sometimes Ashley, but not always Ashley. And it's always a different girl. And then the pictures of her are always in either a bikini or incredibly tight clothing, and she lives somewhere else. She doesn't live here in Chicago. Sometimes she lives in California or Nevada. What's going on with that? I don't think these people are real. These women are real. I don't think it's possible.
Did you accept your friend request?
I have not.
You're making her wait? Playing hard to get? So she comes in stronger?
I'm not sure. I don't know what's in it for me to accept these friend requests because I don't think it's legit. But like once in a while, you could go, okay, well, that was by accident, right?
Legit in what way?
I don't think these women are real.
Like it's a scam.
I think there's got to be some scam involved.
You're being
catfished,
in this. Bill.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Why?
Just fished?
No, it's I think it's catfished.
Did she have whiskers?
Aren't they? Well, I just assume they're prostitutes or something, right?
No, they can't prostitute themselves on Facebook.
Why not?
Because that would be assbook.
They don't have that, do they? They don't.
Maybe.
But what would be in it for them? Let's say, and again, this happens on average of about once a week. And I should show you the pictures. I'll show you the pictures because I got one last night into this morning in the middle of the night. Like, so what was happening to this girl? Where did it say she lived, Kevin? In Palos Verdes, California?
Some California city.
Right. So what was happening with this girl in the middle of the night where all of a sudden she goes, I have to befriend Bill F. in Chicago? That wouldn't have happened.
I used to just accept everyone because everyone's listening and things like that. And I started realizing that the ones, you know, you get the hinky ones and then they're the ones sending you the messages. Like
what message would you get from one of the ones you're not
you're
on board
cute.
With?
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
That kind of stuff?
What are you doing now? That sort of stuff.
And then they send you private messages because I get a
right,
lot
that's
of,
what
hey,
I mean.
You seem like a really cool girl. I'd like to get to know you better.
Do you get stuff like that?
Oh,
yeah.
My God, you don't?
Yeah.
See, that those are, you mm-hmm. think those are on the up and up?
No, but I don't answer them. I don't want to know more people.
Oh, I they're lovely people.
But
I
I'm not
them.
Getting, Steve, I'm not getting what you're saying where they're sending those sort of messages. There's little to no contact. Like, I think early on I might have accepted one or two.
Hoarded friends at the beginning, and then I hit my limit, so I had to purge people.
Oh.
And because you could only have 5,000 friends.
Right.
And I don't
Which
know
is
what
a
to
lot.
Do. I know, but
and especially when you don't seriously.
I don't know a lot
no
of
no disrespect,
them.
But
no, that's why you know you can have a fan page, which is what I should convert everything to, and just use my personal one for personal stuff.
Right?
Because there are sometimes I don't want to put personal things up there because then a lot of people see them.
Right.
I just am so unorganized or disorganized.
Disorganized.
They're both.
But I will show you. I can't do it quickly, but I will. I'll show you the last two or three I've got over the last couple of 3 weeks. Because I said to Kevin, look at this. Like, what would that girl and I, whoever she is.
She was born 1 year before me, by the way.
Yeah, she's very young.
She wants to get you arrested.
But nearly every Kevin saw the pictures. She's wearing bathing suits in every picture of her.
Well, does she have a nice body?
Well, a lot of the photos are not of her face.
Excuse me?
Are not of her
they're
face.
Oh, they're just her body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have
and then
you
it's
seen
like,
her face?
Text me on this number. It's totally a scam.
But what would I get? Like, let's say I befriended her. What what does she get out of it?
It's not her. It's somebody who wants to get access to your account and hack you.
Exactly.
To my Facebook account?
Yeah.
Start charging you for, you know, text per minute thing or something.
I guess.
I had an experience kind of like this, but I think it was legit. Have you ever seen, like, the people you may know section?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the reason I think this was legit was because I'm scrolling through and seeing people that just look like normal, ordinary people. And then I come on to one that is an older, what looks to be woman of the night, but not attractive
when you,
at all.
Can I call
a quick timeout?
You're so sweet.
Well, just a quick timeout. When you say older, how old is older?
Older than
my you.
You were
going to
say it. You were going to say us.
Wendy's age? Or?
No.
Bertrand, you're older than I am, so zip it.
Older than old man Bertrand up there. But she was wearing a, like, this was I mean, it just
sexy?
No, not at all. Very unattractive.
Yeah.
And was wearing a see-through, like, negligee.
Oh.
And this is on Facebook. Like, how does this happen?
Listen to you. You're.
I'm pretty sure she was missing an arm, too, if I remember correctly. I'm not making this up. I swear to God. I don't know. And I'm thinking, like, why is she recommended to me? People
right.
You may know.
Never mind.
Yeah. All right. I had a thing happen when I worked at another radio station early in the morning. And I got an instant message on Facebook from someone I went to high school with.
Yeah.
Wendy, I am stuck in London.
Oh, sure.
My apartment was robbed. And here's me, so gullible, and this was years ago.
Yeah.
So I responded, and I'm like, Rita, I can't help you. Can you send me some money? I said, I don't really have.
You hadn't spoken to this person in years and years and years.
Probably
when you got this
15,
message.
20
okay.
years.
That's a long time.
We've communicated on Facebook.
Oh, all right.
But so it was like, you know, oh, my apartment got robbed. I don't have my passport. I need some money. And I'm going back and forth with this person, instant message. And finally, I'm like, okay, this is weird. I just ended it with, you know, I am so sorry, but I don't have extra money to send you, and I don't really know how to do it. And then I sent a private message to Rita on Facebook, and I said, are you in London? And she said, no, my account was hacked.
Oh.
But, I mean, that's what's scary is, you know, granted, I've sent money to princes a couple of times.
Well, why wouldn't you?
And then you learn.
That's right.
When you're, you know, bilked out of $1 million. You learn after
the
second million.
Sure.
But this was someone I knew and an instant message. So it really, like, took me by surprise and caught me off guard. But it was just a scam, and that's what they're trying to get in to hack you.
I guess so, but.
Plus, your password is password 123.
I should come up with a better password, too.
Throw in a 4 or something.
Or capitalize the P.
My old password was don't hack me. Is that a better password?
Don't hack me, bro.
Don't hack me, bro. All right. Who are these women, and why do they want to be my Facebook friend? That's today's Geraldo episode.
Oh, wait. This just in.
What?
Diane, you have a request for Bill?
Yes. Yes. Hi.
Hi.
First of all, I love your show, all you guys, and I'm so glad you're over at WGN.
Thank you, Diane.
Along with Ro.
Thank you.
But anyway.
Was that along with Ro, or were you truly clearing your throat?
No, I love you guys.
That's legit. All right.
Yeah, very, very happy that you're here.
All right.
Thank you.
The thing I wanted to tell you is to Bill specifically, because Wendy's too smart for this, apparently.
Sure.
If you leave this, these girls want to be your friend on Facebook and get to know you. I got a bridge in Brooklyn. I want to sell you.
Can you send me a picture or two of that bridge? I might put a bid.
Yeah, Diane, stay on hold. We'll get your information.
I would love to buy a bridge in Brooklyn. All right, let's take.
You're a bridge owner.
I would be a bridge owner.
Building a bridge.
That would get more girls in bikinis to be my friend on Facebook. It all ties in. A quick break, more show, Bill. I was just explaining how on Facebook, about once a week, sometimes more, sometimes less, I get a friend request from somebody who appears to be, how can I say this politely, out of my league. It just doesn't seem like somebody who'd want to be friends
yourself
with
short.
Mine.
Has no head.
If you look at her pictures, now this is the one that I received late last night. I won't say her name. Although I don't
think
she's
real.
You think she's real?
Yeah, there's a dog as her banner picture.
No, it's not real.
I don't think it's real. Most of the pictures of her, here's a picture of her legs and
buttocks.
Part of her buttocks. Here's her midriff.
Boy shorts. Her what?
Her midriff.
Doesn't one of the
midriff.
Photos have-
midriff.
No.
Here's her cleavage.
That's why she's reaching out to you.
Now, there's like phone numbers in there that you like text me or whatever, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's call it.
That's a scam. It's
let's
totally a scam.
Let's call it.
I don't know.
Come on, I'll introduce you two. Then you can be friends.
Here's what it says she does.
A huge pair.
Can I prove to you that She's very healthy. Can I tell you how I know that this is probably not real? Under job, here's what she does for a living. She's a deli clerk at ShopRite.
Now, she is not.
I've been to deli departments at grocery stores many, many times in my life. That girl doesn't work at a deli. She doesn't. Now, here's the one thing that makes me think it might be legit, where it says friends, mutual friends, yeah. We have one, and it's Jeff Schwartz.
Oh, God. That's not legit.
He's in the radio business.
Jeff Schwartz is a program director extraordinaire. Right. He's crazy as hell. Right. They call him Spaceballs.
But he, I have to say, a fan of deli. So
he
if
is.
She does work at a deli and
she doesn't
right,
work at a deli.
She may know Jeff, but maybe he picked up a pastrami from her at some point. Let's hope that's all he picked up from
I
her.
I think she would pick up the pastrami from him. Hey, buddy.
Would you like a foot long? Yes, I would.
I'd love it.
Bring it on.
Jeff Schwartz is the nicest guy in the world, and he probably is bamboozled like you almost
could
were.
Could be. It could be.
Don't base it on if Jeff Schwartz is a friend.
All right. Now, so that's the one I got this week. Here's the one I got last week.
What does she do for a living?
She works in technical support at a place called Alpine Access. It's a ski resort in Michigan.
I believe that.
Now, again, just like the last girl I showed you, here's pictures of her. There's
she wants you to kiss her cheek.
Now, hold on. I just Googled Alpine. Alpine Access.
How do you spell?
It's a work at home, find work from home jobs online website.
Is that what she does
for
a living?
Okay, so they're ladies of the evening working out of their own home.
Something's fishy here.
She's also a friend of Jeff Schwartz.
She is not. No. Hey, buddy.
You should come see my friends.
I've got nice, great friends.
Nice ladies. All right. So like I said, once a week, sometimes more, sometimes less, I get these requests. I don't know what's in it for them. I don't know what's in it for me. I don't think these women are real. They never live in Chicago. Like the first few I got, I'm like, well, maybe they hear me on the radio. Maybe that's what's going on. But she's in Michigan. The last girl was in California. The girl before that was in Nevada. They're spread out all over the country.
I think spread out is the key.
So why me? Why am I getting
You're
these?
You're not the only one who's getting them. Everyone's been getting them.
I guess so. I hope so.
I'm a 62-year-old grandma, says 414, and I get the same kind of friend requests.
Oh, really?
I get them, too. It's like, you seem like a really nice girl. Can we be friends?
All right. What if I were to accept their friend request, but then what happens?
You get hacked. I get emails you that I open, and all of a sudden my computer explodes.
I don't want that. That's not why I'm in this. I'm glad they're not real.
They might be real.
I meant parts of her.
Oh.
Don't you feel bad rejecting a friend request?
Terrible.
I know. It's
no,
weird.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
I do,
the worst
absolutely.
Thing. It's so that shouldn't be a part of life that somebody could decide that.
It's like
so
you know,
arbitrarily
being a high school boy asking a girl out again. You know,
right?
No, I reject your request.
Or when you're always the captain of the team and there's always that kid that gets picked last.
Right.
So I used to pick them first just to show people.
And then did you lose always?
Yeah, but that's okay. I felt nice.
Fine.
I was training for the future.
I like to be nice to people. And, you know, I mean, these aren't really friends, you know.
These are there should be a separate category for fictional friends. Because these people, I don't think any of these women exist. This woman obviously exists. She's a real person. But does
I don't
she
know if she's
know?
Even a real person. It's probably a guy using that picture.
But they took a picture of some real woman. Does she know that she's being used on Facebook?
Who's taking the picture of her butt cheeks?
Jeff Schwartz.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is catfishing, I swear, because they'll like she probably sent these to someone that she knew in Snapchat or whatever, or like put it on a story in Snapchat, and then people grab the photos and pretend to be her.
That could be real.
It's catfishing.
That makes sense, right?
I can't even get my Snapchat to work. I thought I posted two things. Did I send you a message, Kevin?
Maybe.
From Dave and Buster's? I thought I posted it. I don't know where it went.
You can't get your Snapchat to work?
Steve, I don't even know what that means. I have no idea what that even means.
Bertrand, I love you. I really do.
All right. I know there's a hidden meaning in there somewhere. I know there's a hidden meaning. A quick break. Steve with the news. Someone's going to explain something to me, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We can be reached at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. Last night was another of the town hall meetings, the Republican town hall meetings. This was a CNN-sponsored event. Anderson Cooper served as moderator.
I like him so much.
You know, I always have. The first time I had access to Anderson Cooper, he was hosting a late-night news show.
Yes.
And, I didn't know his background. I didn't know he was Gloria Vanderbilt's son. I had no idea.
Nor did I.
I just knew that he did a great job reporting the news, and sometimes they give him a little more leeway late at night. Like, this was a show, I used to see it like 2 in the morning.
Yeah,
did you ever
see
that same one? So he would do a news story, and then he and his co-anchor would kind of sometimes comment on the stories, something that they don't really let them do very much during the day. But I kind of liked that approach. They would make fun of some of the stories if it warranted
it. They'd riff on it.
Yeah, and I always thought that was really good. And then he quickly ascended, and now he's kind of a household name. But he was hosting last night, and there's a moment in particular that I think, if you didn't get to see last night's town hall meeting, I think you need to hear. Before anything else, I just want to preface it by saying, I know some of you listening don't like Donald Trump. I know some of you listening do like Donald Trump, but whether you like him or don't like him, you need to hear this. Anderson Cooper was calling out Donald Trump on the back and forth that's been going on between he and Ted Cruz in regard to their wives. For those of you who don't know, a picture was published of Donald Trump's wife and Ted Cruz's wife next
to
Melania,
each other. That's what started it, right?
The first one was the picture of her from Gentleman's Quarterly, where
right.
She's not wearing a lot of clothing.
I don't think she's wearing any clothing.
She's not
wearing
any clothing.
She's laying on a fur.
And she is. And based on our discussion last half hour, I'm shocked that I've not received a Facebook request, friend request from her, because I'm getting a lot of that sort of thing lately.
But somebody criticized saying this is what you want the first lady to be,
right.
And
yeah, it was
Trump
a super
blamed.
Pack. It was a super PAC for Ted Cruz,
right.
Who put it out in Utah to Mormon ladies and said, look, is this who you want your first lady to look like or
yep.
What you want her to look like?
But Ted Cruz was not personally responsible for putting that out,
correct.
Although Trump did. Think so. What, you
right.
Think he was?
No, I don't think he was, but, you know, it's this weird line between the super PACs.
And what is that again?
Well, by the Supreme Court ruling now, you can, you know, contribute as much as you want to these super PACs and not be named or anything like that.
Yeah.
So every candidate, for the most part, has a super PAC aligned with them.
And that's
it's like
political
a sponsor
action
almost.
Committee.
Yeah, but by law, Ted Cruz and his campaign cannot coordinate with the super PAC in his name.
Right.
But
they're rogues, kind of?
Well, you know, it sure seems like they talk. Not just Cruz's, but all of them.
But there's got to be, there's some coordination between them, right?
Legally,
don't know.
No, Bill. They would say that there's not, but it's hard to imagine that there's not.
All right. I'm just confused about this whole thing because I don't, super delegates, super PACs, what's next to be super?
Super Dog.
Super
I'll
Dog
take that.
Is
I'll
delicious.
Vote for Super Dog for president.
All right. So at some point, and you knew it was going to come up last night during the town hall meeting, Anderson Cooper is sitting with Donald Trump, who looked glum for some reason. I don't know if you've ever seen him look this way, but he looked rather glum last night. And there was this exchange. So listen and decide, and then we will discuss it. Listen.
I got to ask you about this back and forth between you and Senator Cruz about wives. After saying that you were going to spill the beans about Heidi Cruz, you retweeted an unflattering picture of her next to a picture of your wife.
I thought it was a nice picture of Heidi. I thought it was fine.
Come on.
I thought it was fine. She's a pretty woman.
You're running for president of the United States.
Excuse me. I didn't start it.
Okay, that's,
I didn't start it.
But, sir, with all due respect, that's the argument of a five-year-old.
I didn't start it. No, it's not the
argument.
Yeah,
the argument of a five-year-old is
excuse
he started
you
it.
Would say that. That's the problem with our country.
Every parent
that's,
knows a kid
not
who
a five-year-old.
Says he started
excuse
it.
Me. No. That's the problem. Exactly that thinking is the problem this country has. I did not start this.
Where do we begin? Part one, you could hear the crowd as they first get into it, where he goes, I didn't start it, like that. So even the crowd, even before Anderson Cooper says that's the argument of a child, the crowd is picking up on the fact that that is the argument of a child. Hey, I didn't do it. He did it. I was just responding to him. He hit me first. It's that kind of a thing with him.
Did he take his kickball and leave?
Yes, he did. Then he calls out Anderson. After Anderson Cooper says that's the argument of a five-year-old?
Yeah.
Right? Then he goes, well, you would say that, which again is the kind of thing
I know you are, but what am
say.
I? It's like Pee-wee Herman.
I know.
Seriously.
But then he sums it all up by explaining that that is the problem with the country.
No, he just is not answering anything. And the picture that he put up, is this the one of Melania and Heidi?
No.
All right.
That's not the one. The picture you just showed me is not the one. The picture that was put up is Melania, the current Mrs. Trump, looking sultry, and then Heidi Cruz, Ted Cruz's wife, looking rather plain. But then he explains that by saying, oh, that's a good picture of her. Well, it wasn't put up because it was, yeah, the one you're showing me now is the one.
Okay, she so looks a little it's bit, a terrible picture of her.
She looks a little witchy in the picture.
She's caught in the middle of, like, yelling at someone or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
He is just a big blowhard, and I'm done.
Are you
done? You know, Alec Baldwin and I are just moving. I'll even move it. You know what? I'll even live with Ted Nugent.
Oh, come on. It's come to that.
I'm not kidding. It is a joke. Seriously, I get what he's trying to do, and text all you want. You know, you vote for whom you want, but I love what he's done where he's shaken things up and he's changed the face of debates, and I don't like how government has been going either, but he is not the guy.
He has, and we've mentioned this before, he's created a much greater interest in the political system.
Absolutely.
So if you're looking for your silver lining, the silver lining is that a lot of people who would be on the fringe and just kind of going, yeah, there's an election in November. As it approaches, I'll pay more attention to it. You're forced to pay attention to it.
And now they're on the fringe and they're voting.
Right. Right. They switch fringes. So we've made some progress in switching fringes.
I maybe I am the person who says I told you so,
but
I'm just scared for this country.
Well,
I don't love Hillary. I don't love Bernie Sanders.
Right.
I don't love John Kasich. I don't love Ted Cruz. And I certainly don't love Donald Trump. But come on, you got it. Somebody called yesterday and said, I'd rather have a jackass in office than I don't remember what the other thing was. But really?
Right. Than a liar.
Use your vote wisely. That's all.
You would hope. You would certainly hope. Now, if I can use my I told you so, yesterday toward the end of the show, we were talking about this guy Lewandowski, his press guy, who is under investigation. And I said, if this was any other candidate, you would probably see Mr. Lewandowski shown the door.
Yep.
Somebody would say to him, boy, at this juncture, you're not really in the best interest of our campaign. But Donald Trump won't do that. And he's not doing it. He's standing behind him 100%. Yeah.
I'm loyal.
Yeah.
I know you are, but what am I?
There's calls on this. We would love to take your calls, 312-981-7200. Should we take a break or a call first?
We'll take a break.
Yeah.
And you know what? Seriously, we do not come in every day going, what material do we have on Trump to blast him? We don't.
I know.
And I hate talking about him. I can't wait till after November when we can have fun with this show again. I'm not kidding. But you talk about what's in the news, and I am so damn sick of people saying, oh, yeah, you liberals. I'm a little of each. I'm a flip-flopper. I have liberal views on some things and conservative views on others. But Donald Trump is just, it's a joke.
I didn't start it. That is a textbook example. That is the perfect, when you look at this, when you stand back and look at what this campaign has been and become, that's where your bookmark should be.
Is this really being filmed for a reality show?
No,
and at the last
real.
Minute, he's going to bail
no,
and just say, oh, I
real.
Got my footage.
Actually, that's what I wanted to bring up next, what you just said. We'll continue this in just a little bit. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We just played a little clip of last night's town hall, Republican town hall from CNN. So Anderson Cooper asks Donald Trump about this go-between, this little war that's going on between he and Ted Cruz in regards to their wives and pictures of their wives.
Can we hear it again?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it again. Kevin's queuing it up.
So it was brought up, you know, Melania and Heidi, which, again, I don't even need to know their names right now, but we do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we've seen one of them without their clothing on.
I got to ask you about this back and forth between you and Senator Cruz about wives. After saying that you were going to spill the beans about Heidi Cruz, you retweeted an unflattering picture of her next to a picture of your wife.
I thought it was a nice picture of Heidi. I thought it was fine.
Come on.
I thought it was fine. She's a pretty woman.
You're running for president of the United States.
Excuse me. I didn't start it.
Okay, that's,
I didn't start it.
But, sir, with all due respect, that's the argument of a five-year-old.
I didn't start it. No, it's not the argument.
The argument of a five-year-old is he started it.
You would say that. That's the problem with our country.
Every parent knows
that's
a kid
not
who
a five-year-old.
Says he started
Excuse me. No. That's the problem. Exactly that thinking is the problem this country has. I did not start this.
What is the problem? Because he doesn't really go. He just speaks in rhetoric.
I know.
That's the problem.
I know.
What? What is the problem? Because we're all five-year-olds. We're all being mean to one another.
But here's the bigger, if I can go bigger on this. Right now he's volleying with Anderson Cooper and with Megyn Kelly and with whoever's running against him. But at some point, should he become the president, a moment of prayer, should he become the president, he'll be doing this with world leaders, some of which have a very short fuse. You can get away with this with Anderson Cooper because he's not going to hurl a missile at your country. I don't know that you can do this if you're talking to Vladimir Putin or so many other world leaders who just are not as polite as Megyn Kelly or Anderson Cooper and have had enough of him, you know?
I just had the scariest thought in all the land.
What is it?
So Donald Trump is talking to Putin and, you know, Putin has just kind of got his legs crossed going, oh, come on, that's hysterical. Tell me more. It's like all of a sudden Donald Trump changes the world.
Yeah.
So you're saying he'd be a good choice?
No, I'm not. No. I'm saying I'm having this vision and it's like a TV show. It is like a sitcom.
But it should... If everything was right in the galaxy, this shouldn't be like a sitcom, right? This should not be treated like a sitcom.
Did you ever see Kid President?
No.
Rainn Wilson has something to do with this little African American kid who is Kid President. There's really funny videos. You should go online and watch him. He's awesome.
Yeah.
That's what I keep thinking. I'd rather vote for Kid President than Donald mm-hmm. Trump. He just seems to know how to handle it more. Dave, what's going on?
Well, if you follow the entire article or the entire conversation, toward the end of the conversation, he basically said he would use the same attitude and the same concept in dealing with internationally, in dealing with nuclear, and, of course, the dealing with trade issues that affect the United States. And in my opinion, the man is an ass, and he has no idea and has no qualifications to be the POTUS of the United States. Period.
And Dave, you have spoken. Thank you so much for your opinion. Dale, from Dave to Dale.
Yes, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
Oh, not bad for an old guy.
Good.
if you really want to have fun with this, okay, and get some levity back into this, picture, you know, play a tape of Trump, you know, but instead of his voice, put a voice of a baby crying.
It's not that different. I mean, it's not a huge stretch.
I know.
Because it's the same attitude.
if you could do that, I'd like to hear that on the radio.
All right, let's see what we can do.
Audio. We'll work on that, Dale.
Put his voice on and then have a baby crying in the background.
All right, we'll figure that out. Dave, thank you.
Because he's a 69-year-old. Spoiled baby, basically.
It seems like it. Thank you, Dale. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Dale should apply to be our technical producer. Some audio of.
Now, can I really quickly? I started talking about this before we took the break, but I just want to finish it out. Several weeks ago, during one of the debates, the question was asked: if you're not the candidate for the Republican side, will you still support whoever wins? And everybody on the board at the time said yes.
They had to agree to that,
yes,
I thought.
Yes, right. They had to sign something, but then the question came up during the debate, let's say it's not you and it's somebody else, do you support him? And one by one, they all said, yeah, absolutely. And I said the next day, we all came in the next day, and I said, not that I had that much respect for the process, but I lost it all because those guys are lying.
Well, it was a very awkward interaction, wasn't it?
It was
and
the
Ted
worst.
Cruz, I thought, came out now and said, you know, I can't.
All three of them have come out now. Donald Trump just did yesterday. All three, Cruz, Kasich, and Trump,
good.
Have now said, despite what they said, despite what they signed, they're not going to support whoever wins if it's not
Which is
them.
Weird. So Donald Trump says he will not vote for himself if he wins.
He has completely destroyed the Republican Party. Because look at this.
He has exploited the destruction of the Republican Party.
Not destroyed it, but...
Right. I mean, the Republican Party sort of self-immolated with all of their positions over the past 6 or 8 years.
Well, he was the straw.
He's moved in and taken advantage of that, I think.
This is the story out of Washington. Steve Holland writes this for Yahoo last night. Republican frontrunner Donald Trump on Tuesday abandoned a pledge to support a party presidential nominee other than himself, a sign of increasing friction with chief rival Ted Cruz. "No, I don't anymore," Trump replied when asked at a CNN town hall event whether he would still support a pledge that he made last year to support whoever the Republican nominee is for the November 8th election. He is now the third because Kasich already did it and Cruz already did it. So even though, and I said this at the time, I said, that's a lie. Those guys are up there going, yeah, if it's not me, absolutely. It's a party and I'm part of the party, I'm in. But no.
Well, now it'll come back to Hillary. Since she lied, we thought we would lie too.
Just to bounce it all out.
And here's what the text we get, 630. Wendy, he's saying that the problem, Donald Trump, is the USA should stop turning their cheek. Why don't you talk about, you have to hear this. Why don't you play the part of the debate where the dying lady talks about all the help she received for her son from a Donald Trump organization? Of course, Wendy, you will pick and choose what to play on the air to show your hatred of Trump. First of all, I didn't choose this audio.
I chose it.
Second of all, I just hate the concept of him being president. I don't hate him.
Yeah.
I don't. He's just not ready to be president.
Right.
Maybe someday. Certainly not now.
He's an affable guy. He's a guy, I mean, really, when you watch him, you're drawn to him, and he has been the top
charismatic
story. He is all that and more, but that doesn't equal president of the United States. It just,
I don't want him representing us. Quite honestly, I get nervous when you walk into a client meeting ahead of me and you're representing the show.
I do too.
So, I know.
It's awkward, isn't it? All right. I'll break some news, more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bubby Babo.
I think this song uses that lyric better than any other song in history. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. I hope I can qualify this as a love story. Is this a love story, guys?
Yeah.
Is that safe? In studio with us right now are Julia Bertucci and Vince Santoria. And what an amazing story. Wendy and I were talking about this during the crosstalk. There was a time where if you were going to ask somebody to prom, you just walked up to them and you said, "Would you like to go to prom with me?" And then they would say no.
Well, but that's for you.
So, sometimes I've heard stories of a girl saying yes, and then they go to prom. But you guys did something above and beyond the call. Let's tell that story.
Well, I was out in Mesa to watch the Cubs play with my family. Mm-hmm. And
spring training.
Did
you go for spring break?
Yeah, that was our spring break out there. And we were catching the last three games of the weekend, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday game. So I figured while I'm out there, I might as well have the best promposal I could think of.
And that's what it's called now, promposal, right?
Yeah. Because
it's like a proposal for a wedding. I'm so unhip to this.
But we had this little debate before I was even out there in Mesa. We were talking about who asked who. Since it's Julia's prom, she thought she should ask. But
you go to different high schools. That makes sense, Julia, that you'd have to ask him, but he's the guy.
Yeah,
this
was
so much like Romeo and Juliet. You know? The parallels are incredible. All right, so you got past that debate, which is a polite way of saying fight. You had a little fight about this.
Yeah.
Well, plead your case on this, Julia. It is your prom, so why wouldn't you ask Vince, right?
Yeah, I wanted to. I was going to, but he kept saying, "Oh my God, you've never been asked. Like, I need to ask you." And I was like, but it's
oh, he's such
that.
A gentleman.
I get that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, there really was a fight involved in
this.
Yeah. It went on for a couple weeks.
To the point where you thought, I got to look elsewhere. This isn't the guy for
no,
me.
No, stop fight. It. Like,
to
right.
the point that I gave him, like, I said you had to do it by this date or I'm asking
oh,
you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Okay, so under pressure does apply because you had to do something. And you can't just ask a girl anymore. You had to do something really great.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the day she set was like 2 days after I got home from spring break.
Oh.
So it was either the day before I left, during spring break, or the 2 days I had after, and I figured might as well do it while I'm on spring break.
Good thinking.
Okay, so the thought bubble comes into your head. Here's an idea. How'd you come up with the idea before you tell us what it was?
Well, I kind of went back and forth on a bunch of ideas. She said that I had to come up with something great if I get to win this debate, which she let me have.
No pressure, but you better come up with something great.
So originally I had to think of, like, what would be pretty impressive to do. So I came up with the idea, like, I'll do it on spring break. Then I started thinking, like, I could do it on the plane and make a joke about, like, 35,000 miles high, still asking to prom.
Oh, but that's not bad.
A nice backup.
Yeah.
Then I started going with the idea of, oh, I'm going to see the Cubs. I can make it Cubs theme. And I was like, I don't really know any word plays with that. And then I was like, I could still
You are adorable, by the way.
Thank you. I thought I could keep the Cubs involved some way. So then I started thinking, like, oh, what if I get, like, a player to send, like, a video to her or send a tweet? And then I'm like, no, that's too difficult. Like, these guys are pretty well watched. Everyone's there. They probably won't have time.
Sure.
And I was like, I could get one of them to hold up, like, a little note that I wrote.
Yeah.
So I started clicking on the passing note thing. That's why the poster is notebook paper. So like,
what's passing note?
Like,
is that an app?
Passing notes in, like, class, like,
oh,
old
oh,
school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Like, so I was thinking, like, the old school kind of thing, like, I would pass a note to a player, and then the player would essentially pass it on to Julia.
So it's a note like they did, in, like, when Wendy were I, and we were in school in the 1940s, that's what we did. We didn't have social media.
So we would pass a note around class.
Right.
Yeah, so I wanted to give that old school look to it, and I was like, you know what, like, a small note's not going to work, so I out in Arizona, I convinced my mom to go to the Walmart that was right across from our hotel.
Good.
That's a vacation, by the way, when you get to go to a native Walmart.
Yep.
I convinced her to pick up a poster paper, and then I came up with the idea. I just got to make it look like notebook paper.
Yeah.
Get any player to hold it up, take a picture, and put it on Twitter.
But you didn't get just any player. You got one of the best players. You got Chris Bryant to help you out.
Chris Bryant's my favorite player, and Julia thinks it's the cutest player. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Double score there.
Yeah, basically.
So how did you get him to hold the sign?
That's, like, probably my favorite part of the story. I got to Sloan Park in Mesa, like, at 11:30. Like, the gates just opened. I walked in. Already at this time, like, the line for the autographs was, like, two people deep.
Yeah.
So I'm standing, like, kind of farther back. It's like, really hot out there. The sun's beating on everyone, so, like, no one's really enjoying just standing around waiting. Yeah. The players came out a lot later. They did their warm-ups and everything. And then Chris Bryant starts walking over. And he starts, like, pretty far down from me, and he starts working my way towards me. So I'm like, okay, like, this is my chance.
Yeah.
I wish I wasn't three people deep right now trying to get...
Although it could have been 30 people
right.
deep. Three is not too bad.
Right.
So he starts walking down towards me, and then I start hearing people, like, next to me and people even behind me were like, Chris, hold up the sign.
So you had told people when you were in line, or this is your family that's saying it?
No, like, complete strangers that saw the sign. They read it.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, knew I was trying to go to prom. And they were just cheering me on, really. I heard a bunch of different voices. Then finally, Chris Bryant is right in front of me. And I'm like, this is probably my best chance.
Sure.
What made you think that?
So I'm like, it's now or never. So I stand on the seat in the front row, so I'm now above everyone, and I'm holding the poster board downwards.
Was, like, anyone sitting on that seat at the time, Vince? I hope not.
Fortunately, no.
Okay, that's good news.
So then I'm holding it in front of him, and people are still, like, cheering it on. And then finally he looks up, and I'm like, hey, he's like, this sign. And I'm like, yeah, like, can you help me out? Like, all I'm asking for is a picture. And he was like, yeah, I could do that. And he did it with a smile on
his
face.
He didn't want any backstory. He didn't say, how long have you known this girl? What does she look like? What are your future plans? None of that.
I think he was kind of rushed because the security guard right next to him told him there was, like, 2 minutes before the national anthem.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, this was, like, one of the last things he did.
Get in, get out.
Yeah. So he held it up. I got the picture, and now the rest is social media history.
All right, we want to find out what Julia's reaction was, how you found out about this, and what
whether
your eventual,
or not she said yes.
Yes, my fingers are crossed for that. We'll find that out next. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Julia Bertucci and Vince Santori are our guests. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
A couple of young lovers in the studio with us right now, Julia Bertucci and Vince Santori. And a special little promposal that happened at spring training for the Cubs in Mesa. Where did we leave off with Vince?
Well, you had approached Chris Bryant. He was more than happy to help out. He held up the sign for you. What did the sign say, by the way?
The sign said, Julia. No, oh, wow. Bad voice crack.
No,
right
I
there.
Get excited, too. Why wouldn't you get excited? Sure.
That was perfect moment.
Yep.
The sign said, Julia, will you go to prom with Vince? And then it said at the bottom, check one. And it was a box for yes and a box for no. So it had that old school look.
Like kids
it.
Would do, you like me? Check yes or check no. That kind of thing. That's brilliant. Yeah. That's so good. How did you find out about this, Julia?
Well, I was at work when you posted it. So I got off work and my phone was just going crazy. And so I went on Twitter and I was like, oh my God, like this is crazy.
Something's up.
Yeah. And I saw it and at first I thought it said like Luke Bryan. So I thought he was talking about like the country singer and I was like, what are you talking about? And then I looked at it and I was like, oh my God.
Right.
And I was just shocked. Like I was
So you
shocked.
Of course already knew of Chris Bryant. You were aware of him. You're a Cubs fan a bit. So
He's pretty cute, Julia.
Yeah.
Ice blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just recently gotten engaged, correct? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
December, and the weird thing is Vince had to hold up a sign.
Yeah, that's a weird twist.
For the proposal.
Will you marry Chris Bryan? Check one box for yes, check two boxes for no.
All right, so do we want to know what box she checked, Julia checked?
Definitely yes.
You did?
Yeah, I
absolutely.
Checked yes.
How long have you guys been dating?
For like almost 3 months.
Is that true?
Oh my God, that's it? And you went through all this trouble for a prom that's not even at your school?
We've been together for like 6, but like official for 3.
What was that turning point? What happened at the 3 month mark that you went, this is real?
Well, I gave him a deadline for having to ask me out because he took forever.
She's a bossy little one, isn't she?
Yeah.
Good for you.
There's a lot of deadlines going on with you guys. Yeah. I know.
He takes forever.
Wow. So that first date was where? Where'd you guys go on the first date?
One of our first big dates was at actually the John Hancock Tower. The 95th floor.
Good move.
Thanks. That is a good first date. I'm thinking Chipotle or something like that. And then you get food poisoning together. That'll test a relationship.
That was one of our huge
dates. At the restaurant or just the observation deck?
95th floor, the restaurant.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Good move. Wow.
You
I'm
must
very
have
proud
a good
you,
job.
Vince. You're doing all right.
Yeah. We both work at Chick-fil-A. I'm just better at saving.
Oh, my God. I love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
That's 30 true. Hours of work at Chick-fil-A to pay for the 95th. He must like you.
Yeah. A lot.
All right. So, go on.
No, I just want to know when this whole promposal thing started. Because, seriously, as Bill mentioned, when we were in prom, when we were in high school, it was just like, hey, you want to go to prom? Yeah, I guess it's the thing to do. But now, these elaborate things, the pressure's on, isn't it, for guys all over the place, Vince?
It's kind of like every guy sets their own amount of pressure. Mm-hmm. A lot of them just ask straight up, like in person. But I'm on Twitter like almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So like last year, maybe 2 years back, I started noticing like people doing big like
productions.
Like for homecoming and for prom. I came up with a few good homecoming ones before. And then I was like, okay, I got to top everything I've ever done for my first prom as a junior. And I just kept thinking, like, if I do this, I have to do it the best ever. Like,
sure.
No one plays for second place, you
right.
know?
Oh,
what an
so
attitude.
True.
And something we learned off the air with Vince is when he approached Chris Bryant, you had 3 times to have him hold the sign, and you did it on the first day just so you had a backup couple of days.
Yeah.
Smart man.
I figured he was only going to play, like, 2 of the 3 games that I would catch. So I had those. I had like a 50-50 chance for either day, and fortunately it was the first day, right away, pre-game, didn't even have to wait around.
Everything fell into place for you guys.
Oh,
everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's so cool.
That's how it usually works for us.
When my daughter...
Isn't that nice? Oh, to be young again and in love.
When my daughter Reese went last year, the boy who asked her to proms, her name is Reese, and then on our driveway one morning was spelled out, Reese, will you go to prom with me? And then the boy's name in Reese's peanut butter cups. He had bought like 300 Reese's peanut butter cups.
How much did that cost him?
I got to eat a lot of Reese's peanut butter cups, so I don't know what the cost was, but boy, was that a fun afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so here's my question. You went above and beyond the call of duty, Vince, so I hope you have a great time at the junior prom this year, but then there's next year. If you're still together, what in God's name are you going to do to top
when
this?
When you're still together. Not if, when.
All right.
What are you going to do?
You better start thinking about it now.
Yeah, it's
for
still
next
in the works
year.
Right now. I like to surprise her. She hates it, but I love doing it. So if I come up with something, no one will probably know about it until it happens.
Smart move.
Write it down so you don't forget.
Smart move. Yeah. Do you hate it, Julia? You don't hate it, do you? This was nice.
I mean,
this was nice.
Sometimes, but like sometimes I'll tell my friends, and then my friends know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh my God. And they like to like torture me about it. And
we like, know something you don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Or like they say like, they'll give me like little hints like for this one. My friend knew about it. And she told her other friend and she was like, ooh, that's hot. Like she was talking about Chris Bryant because yeah. Chris Bryant's hot.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Vince, yep. Are you jealous of Chris Bryant a little bit?
I mean, I can't really compete with that.
Come on. Come on.
Hearing it out of Julia's mouth hurts just a little bit more.
Oh, my goodness.
They're
going
to fight again.
Let me make things right. Do you or do you not refer to Vince on your Facebook page as your best friend? You do, don't you?
I do, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's if you have that, the rest is easy. That's so good.
You say Grant Mulvey from the Blackhawks
is
your
best friend.
He is my best friend. When's the last time you talked to him?
At prom. We went to prom together.
Chris Bryant's my best friend.
Is he really? Yeah, good.
He should be because he got you a good score in Julia Bertucci and Vince Santoria.
Yeah.
Am I saying this right? I want to say Santoria, but no, Santoria. And both juniors in high school, you at Oswego East.
Yep.
And your Yorkville prom is happening. When is it happening?
May 7th.
We will be there. Yeah.
We're your chaperones, so you know.
Make sure nothing crazy happens.
Well, you want to give your Twitter handle? Because now people are going to follow you because they think it's the cutest story. It's gone viral. And congratulations on a job well done. And thanks for saying yes.
Oh, yeah,
of that would have been bad.
Yeah, it would have been really
awful.
Really,
what a,
really
what a sad, tragic end to the story it would have been. So good for both of you.
I would have deleted Twitter.
Right, no more Twitter.
Do you want followers? Go ahead and give your Twitter handles if you want. You don't have to.
My Twitter handle is @Vince_Santoria. That's Santoria.
Julia, you're sharing with the class?
Mine is @JuliaBertucci13.
Very
spelled
nice.
The traditional Bertucci spelling.
Right.
All right, perfect.
Yep.
Congrats. Have fun.
Thank you.
Have you gotten your dress yet?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
What is going to happen when you guys get married? You're actually, they'll be good because they're ready to plan things.
I know.
Wow.
No, my friends always ask.
You're going to get a deadline,
ask.
By the way, Vince. Be ready for a deadline. Oh, yeah. You better ask me by October 10th.
Like this dress or not. Congrats, you guys. Have a blast.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Bill, do you know that great minds come together for, you know, political summits? For,
sure.
There's a pizza summit
there
going
is.
On in Chicago.
Finally, we're trying to find some peace and accord in the pizza world, which has been embattled for decades. Yes.
P-I-E-C-E.
Yes.
I get it.
Yep.
In the studio with us right now, a couple of guys from the Boiler Room, Boiler Room Logan Square. It's 2210 North California Avenue. We have sous chef Bill Harner. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
And we have the bar manager, Eric Dorf.
Hello, how are you?
Nice to meet both of you. It's nice to have a sous chef, a chef who will get everything prepped for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like a bar manager. I'm sorry, Bill, but Eric, you're more important to me.
Well,
because
thank you.
We not only do you have pizza, we just heard about some kind of soft serve ice cream you have over here.
We have alcoholic soft serve, yes.
Now, it's not just alcoholic soft serve. Explain the whole concept of this, because as you were telling Wendy and I, I'm more refined, but Wendy was drooling. I was watching Wendy drool as you'll explain this. What is this?
It literally is soft serve with alcohol in it.
Discovered that, and can I thank them?
Actually, the gentleman's name is Cody. Can't give out too much information
right.
about it. It is a trade secret.
That's fine.
So we always have Jameson soft serve, and we also have rotating flavors that Bill can probably talk a bit more about because you come up with most of them.
What are the rotating flavors?
We kind of get creative with it, with whatever vodka or liquor we have laying around.
Yeah.
Right now I actually have an Eddie Palmer on that's got some Deep Eddie vodka in it and some Firefly Sweet Tea vodka. So it's kind of like a Arnold Palmer
God.
Ice cream.
Right.
And of course, we do use alcohol in it, so there's about a shot's worth in every single cone.
And the kids fall asleep immediately when you give them this, right?
No, we do have to be a little strict about that. We're
and
the only place that you can't take an ice cream cone to go.
That's true.
It's served in a cone, like a
mm-hmm.
soft serve
and
would
we
be.
Also do a beer float with that as well. So it's the soft serve and a stout.
This is. I want to move into the boiler room.
Wow.
2210 North California Avenue. That'll be my new address from this point forward. Mm-hmm. You have brought in some pizza, and it's a different type of pizza, the toppings on it. Why don't you address that, Bill?
Of course. Well, first off, Chicago is well known for its pizza, but we have many kinds, not just deep dish.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is not a deep dish or a thin crust. It's hand-tossed, about 20 inches around. And the two I brought in for today, one of them is my boiler room, which is our namesake pie. It's got regular marinara sauce with our house blended cheeses. And then on top of that, we put our PBR meatballs that we make in-house.
Okay, PBR, I know what PBR stands for. I've had a can or two of those in my upbringing, but you really mean PBR.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. There's about a whole pint in each 10 pounds.
Wow. PBR meatballs.
Wow.
And then on top of the meatballs,
a quick question. When you're eating the meatballs, is there an apparent taste that tastes like beer, or you can?
You get a hint of the flavor.
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But you cook with it, so you're not going to get drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We've
cooked up most of that. And the meatballs, at least, not the ice cream.
Right.
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 All right. So PBR meatballs, and what else is on? Because these are unusual toppings, but it lends itself to a really good pizza.
Oh, yes. On top of that goes our spicy giardiniera that we make in-house with carrots, onions, cauliflower, and serrano peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And gives it a nice spicy kick.
Yeah, the best jardiniere has the cauliflower and the carrots. It shouldn't just be all green celery and peppers.
Mix it up a little,
mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
And then my other pie that I brought you today is our Purist, which is our take on the margarita.
Mm-hmm.
It's fresh mozzarella, basil, and our balsamic reduction on top of it. Give it a little sweetness, so it's just not the regular margarita.
All right, and this is all part of this pizza summit that's going on, the Chicago Pizza Summit. What is it? Do you guys know?
Well, it's the first pizza summit in
this
Chicago.
This is first ever.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's being presented by Old Style. And we were approached about a month and a half ago,
roughly,
about it, and we're just really excited to be involved, considering that, you know, some of the companies that are there have been around for 20, 30 years.
You guys only 6 years old?
Six years, yeah. So,
well, Dane Neal is going to be in for the second half of this, and we'll find out more about the Chicago Pizza Summit, and the event is sold out, but I think Dane is going to come up with a pair of tickets to give away.
A way for people to get into this? Do you guys lay low? You were talking about the Pabst Blue Ribbon meatballs. When your sponsor is around and it's Old Style, do you lay low on the PBR meatballs and say, no, they're meatballs. I don't know if they they taste like beer. It's an accident.
We'll use Old Style on this particular batch.
Right.
They're all friends.
Everybody gets along. Yeah. Now, you guys do something size-wise with the pizza that I've never heard of before. I don't know if this is unusual just to the boiler room or not, but you only have one size of pizza. You can't get small, medium, large, extra large.
No.
It's just one size. That's it.
That is correct. We sell quite a bit of our pizza, not quite half of it, but we sell by the slice as well. Our special is a 16-ounce beer, a shot of Jameson, and a slice of pizza for $8.50.
Oh, health
every
food.
Day of the week.
Yeah. I'm moving in. 2210 North California. That's my new address in Logan Square. You can reach me at boilerroomlogansquare.com.
When you do something that extreme, is there some debate? Do you go, well, but it would probably benefit us more to have your various sizes like pizza places? You go, no, this is the way to do it.
We haven't had many complaints about that. They tend to go quickly.
Yeah,
even,
I bet.
Even when you got a group of two or three ordering them.
Yeah.
We cut into six slices, so they're larger slices, but not going to dwarf you or anything.
It helps to get the decision out of your day, too.
Sure.
I mean, if I go in and there's only one size, I guess give me
that size.
Because
right.
Yeah. Really, how many times do people come in and they do go back and forth? Should we get a 12-inch or 16? How hungry are you?
Right.
How many pieces are you going to take?
Right.
So, yeah, one size fits all.
Makes life easier.
And that's why we love it by the slice, too, because you could have one, two, or you could stay there all night and keep them coming.
Yeah, yeah. This is, I know you operate here, so I think I know what your answer is, but this is the best pizza city in the country, isn't
it?
Oh,
it is. Easily. Yeah. Easily.
It is.
And there's room for all different kinds.
That's what makes it fun. There's different styles all over town.
Yeah. I like pizza that do like a white sauce. I don't know if you guys have ever tried this on any of yours, but I enjoy a white sauce as opposed to a red on a pizza. There's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
We do have a couple on our regular menu. And,
do
of
you?
Course, build your own. We can do all day with that. We have an Alfredo base that we use for our cream sauce.
Oh, so good. So good.
All right. It's the first annual Chicago Pizza Summit presented by Old Style and in conjunction with Empty Bottle Presents. It's happening Sunday, April 3rd. And we're going to find out more about that as we continue. Dane Neal is in the studio. We'll all continue right here. I was going to say as we continue eating pizza, because that's what I'm going to do.
That might happen. You know, that might accidentally happen. Stick around. More coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Oh, Dean, we love him. Dane Neal is now joining us, along with Bill Harner and Eric Dorf from Boiler Room Pizza. Boy, by the way, we both Wendy and I have had a chance now to sample your wares. Wow. That's some good stuff, gentlemen.
You got some great wares.
Nice wares.
You know, and it's kind of one of those things, you know, but wait, there's more. Because there are 11 other pizza places that are going to be highlighted there. You think about this. You know, we've got Wing Fest. We've got Rib Fest. Mm-hmm. We've got every kind of fest there is in a city that's so identified and proud of its pizza heritage. Doesn't it make sense that there should be a... I don't want to even call it Pizza Fest, guys. You know, when you guys were at the big round conference table mm-hmm. coming up with ideas, was Pizza Fest an idea? Because this is a summit. So this is kind of like that whole kind of meeting of the minds for the mm-hmm. pizza world.
And what do you learn from it? You know, you're not going to give each other your secret recipes, so really, what? It's not really a summit.
Well, we don't know. Maybe there's some like kind of back channel meetings. You know, the Trilateral Commission of thin and thick crust.
Remember when Begin and Sadat got together for their summit? This is more important, I think. Right. That the pizza families all see eye to eye.
Peace between deep dish and thin crust.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't mean for you to go there, Bill. Like the pizza families.
Right.
So they could reach some kind of a detente. So here are some of the others. Boiler Room. It's great for you guys being in here. So many. Great things being said about the stuff that you guys are doing at your place, but some of the other ones that are going to be our Chicago favorites, like Connie's Pizza is going to be there, Dante's, Flo and Santo's, Lou Malnati's is going to be there, you know, mm-hmm. one of our personal favorites here, Demo's, Gino's East, Home Run Inn, and then also Taco in a Bag, which I thought was like, how did they work themselves in? Guys, do you know how they
work?
I have
no idea, actually.
So taco in a bag is something that you would purchase where you can eat a taco while you're walking. Are they doing pizza in a bag?
I guess they are. Yes, they are. And I do know they are.
Do you need pizza in a bag?
The time is ripe for this. Who's got time to sit?
It's already portable.
Right.
It's got a handle, as my kids call it, the
right.
crust.
I'll actually fill the bag up with root beer, too, so I don't have to even stop for root beer.
Or just blend it. Just Vitamix it into a creamy froth. So you can do
that. That way.
So tickets would normally be available at emptybottle.com, and they may release more. They've done it a couple times throughout the process. Mm-hmm. But as you can imagine, so many fans for this event and this product, it's been sold out. We have two tickets.
Oh.
For Bill and Wendy listeners that are available, and these were not easy to come by. They're going to shoehorn some extra people in and make that happen, so...
We'll give those away before the segment is over. Somebody will win a couple of tickets to the Pizza Summit. That's great.
Who's the keynote speaker?
Now, this is a little bit different. So Andrew WK is going to be the keynote speaker. Now, pizza, what's the next word that comes after pizza, other than, of course, summit now, but pizza party, right? And he's he's the guy that's the self-proclaimed king of all partying, and so he's going to be there. I'm assuming he'll do some partying, but he's going to be making a speech, some kind of speech on the...
From what we've been told, he's going to just speak about his relationship with pizza
and
his lifestyle.
Oh.
So,
this is a guy, I have to be honest, a year ago we were offered him as a guest, and I had never heard of him, and I don't think you did either, Wendy. Our producer, Kevin, said, we got to get this guy, Andrew W.K. This guy is amazing.
Kevin described him in two words as a wild dude.
Right. That's all we needed to hear.
That's what I said, yes.
Yeah. So he came on, and he dazzled us. He was a lot of fun. And had a big fan base here at the station that we didn't even know existed. So
yeah, so he's going to be there. So an opportunity for his fans, and there's more than maybe you'd think that are going to be out there for that. You mentioned root beer. There's going to be regular beer. Their old style is going to be flowing. 5 beer tickets for every person that gets in there, plus some of Chicago's favorite DJs, too. So if the speech isn't entertaining,
we're not
going
to be there.
No.
Oh, no. I think more of like the spinning and, popping and locking style.
We do that on the weekends, Dane, so I'm surprised they didn't send an invitation our way, but that's fine.
Yeah, but you should hear Bill's rendition when he does the mixing of Hall & Oates and Poco.
People love it. People love it.
That's where we're at now. You got to break new ground to break good ground.
You should do that.
I'll do that. I'll show up for that. Bill, explain this to me. You started to off the air, but I would love a better explanation. The crust that you guys provide over at Boiler Room, I've had this type of crust before, and I don't know how to describe it other than just getting the regular pizza crust, there's like little extra bits of almost like crumbs from the bread. Mm-hmm. What is that exactly? Because I love
Those are technical terms, Bill.
Yeah,
very technical. There's actually a bit of cornmeal on the bottom of our pies. We use that. We cook right on the stone. So to launch from the pan to the pizza oven, we use a light dusting of cornmeal on the pan so that the pie slides right off.
Oh, that's good.
It keeps a beautiful, perfect round shape.
Yeah.
And when you do it that way, you get that cooked cornmeal on the bottom just to kind of give it a nice crispiness as you eat.
A little bonus flavor. Mm-hmm. I like the bonus flavor.
You are so easily amused.
Yeah, that's all it takes for me. Well, sometimes I don't even have a pizza. I go, can you just spray me with cornmeal? And I go, yeah,
like
we'll
do
that
for bird,
you.
Yeah. Drinking bird. You yep. go, it, you pack it.
Yep. And no matter what the product is, anytime Bill sees that starburst that says bonus flavor
I'm
exclamation
in.
Point.
I love bonus. I'm a big fan of the bonus. Now, it's almost slice-wise, it's reminiscent. I know this is Chicago, but there's a New York style of pizza, and the slice is similar. The cut
yes,
is, right?
And we do sell by the slice, so it tends in that direction. But it's not New York style. It's not a Neapolitan crust.
Right.
We do a slow rise, 2-day proofing period for our crust.
Yeah.
And Neapolitan dough is, if you ever get the chance to play with it, is real sticky and tough to stretch, and ours is a little more dense than
so
that.
So why would that play so much more on the East Coast than it would here in the Midwest, do you think? No, it's just what you're
different
used
styles.
To, right?
Yeah.
You know, you talked about, of course, Big and Sadat and all the great kind of meeting of the minds throughout history. Mm-hmm. As you guys travel, you know, from Chicago, this is a pizza city, and you know, talk to other people always have an opinion. It's mm-hmm. No one says pizza. What about it? You know, everyone's mm-hmm. got like, oh, you got to try, or maybe this or that. Where do you guys come down on the whole New York thing? Obviously, you're Chicago focused because you're here. It makes sense. But some people that are from here are open-minded to all the styles.
I'm a fan of pizza. I'll take it any way you can get it to me. I do appreciate the different varieties. I've got a favorite in each category.
Yeah.
Lou's is my favorite deep dish, of course, being in the city.
Yeah.
But the thin crust, thin and crispy, too, is delicious. Different pizza for every day of the week.
I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm sure you are. You're in the business. But there was a time you could get stuffed pizza here in Chicago. But if you went to other cities and asked for stuffed pizza, they would look. They had no idea what that meant.
Funny.
Not so
mm-hmm.
much anymore, but that's what it was 10 or 15 or 20 years ago.
It's kind of funny. Actually, my first job, I'm originally from the Twin Cities, and I was 13, and I got a job at a deep dish pizza place that pretty much was reminiscent of all things Chicago. And we actually had a stuffed pizza there.
And that was the first you've ever seen
yes,
of it.
Yes, and I thought it was bizarre. And oddly enough, the name is Green Mill, which is a play, obviously, on the North Side establishment.
Yeah.
But that was my first introduction to deep dish pizza.
And that's Eric Dorff, bar manager for The Boiler Room, and also sous chef Bill Harner in the studio with us, along with Dane Neal.
And emptybottle.com is the place for more information on everything. And any of tickets other than the two we've got to give away become available. Here's the other thing about it that I think it makes it more important and historical is there's going to be a pop-up of the International Pizza Museum that is going to happen there. So they'll have pizza throughout the years, perhaps.
I'm so proud to be a Chicagoan sometimes.
Absolutely. The first ever pizza cutter made
of
leather.
Friends of the Lake isn't trying to block the building of the Pizza Museum, are they?
Well, they try, but
I hope they don't.
They keep giving them free pizza, and then they're backing down in their fight.
Right.
But think about this, and I guess it'll be a surprise for the people who get there, and a pleasant one, is what kind of things would you expect in the pizza museum? You know, maybe an unearthed, unfrozen, 10,000-year-old slice, you know, that they found in a glacier somewhere. Like, what would be there?
That's a great question.
A pizza
that
cutter?
Very first pizza
right.
wheel.
The preserved first pizza from Pompeii.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
A pizza
I mean...
stone, the wooden handle thing, that giant spatula that you use, the brick ovens. I mean, there'd probably be a lot for the ancient pizza makers.
The ancient Pizzanese.
Right.
I mean, we remember the hieroglyphics, right? It was,
oh, sure.
You know, like characters with...
Right.
You know, like
with
falcon
a giant
heads
anchovy with a line through it.
Right. And
even
then
in caveman
that.
Days, people were like, I don't know about the anchovies.
That's right. That's
3.14159 meant pizza pie.
And the address for it, and there's going to be two sessions. One is from 2 till 5, and the other from 6 till 9, so you can pace yourself as the ancient Romans did, maybe fall in somewhere and kind of purge yourself a little bit. And it's going to be at the Chop Shop, which is 2033 West North Avenue for the Chicago Pizza Summit.
Come visit me in my new address, 2210 North California. I want to say Carolina for some reason. 2210 North California Avenue, Logan Square. It is The Boiler Room. You can find them at boilerroomlogansquare.com. Come visit me there. I'm moving in.
And right now, I will visit you there. Right now, caller number 10 at 312-981-7200. Caller 10, 312-981-7200, will get two tickets to the Pizza Summit. I know you'll enjoy those. Guys, we really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for
incredible
us.
Food. Really, very, very nice. It's Bill and it's Eric from Boiler Room Pizza. And then, of course, Dane Neal. Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
A quick break. We'll talk to Steve Bertrand next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thank you so much. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy back for the second half of the show. We're 312-981-7200. We're thrilled that you're here. Feel free to jump in at any point.
How about a quiz, Bill?
A quiz? I'd love a quiz. How come? What's the occasion?
Well, we got some snail mail
mm-hmm.
From Michael in Bensonville, Illinois. And I don't know. I am really excited to get an actual letter with a stamp on it.
Sure.
Handwritten.
It's just like it used to be.
When was the last time you got one?
Up
until this one, obviously.
They don't come in with anywhere near the regularity that they once did. You get a couple of here at the station.
Mostly complaints.
It's a lot of complaints. Some money-saving coupons. And then sometimes they'll send a quiz.
This is a quiz. All it says from Michael in Bensonville is the new seniors exam that it's making the rounds. You mm-hmm. only need 4 correct out of 10 questions to pass. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if it was senior citizen or if it was senior in high school.
Oh, all right.
I've done a little research, and it's seniors in high school.
So they're saying if you're a senior in high school, here's a couple of things you should know by now, right? Is that what they're saying?
Right. And in order to pass, you need 4 out of the 10 questions to pass. And
that's what's wrong with America.
You're not can expecting
pass.
Much.
You can pass if you get 4 out of 10. If you bet 400, we want you.
All right. Well, you know, I was thinking about it. The first half of the show, we had the cute little junior couple mm-hmm. who did a promposal.
Mm-hmm.
To which I still don't understand. I still the pressure is on. I have a junior in high school, and they're not allowed to go to the prom. It's only seniors.
A lot of schools do that.
I kind of like that
because
I was with the same guy junior and senior year, and we just went junior year because we were together and we thought we had to.
Right.
And senior year was like really the same thing. And the best part is the day after where you go do something fun.
Yep.
He had a cottage in Lake Geneva, so that's what we did.
Oh. So that is nice.
But I like. Just being the senior prom, that's what it should be.
Right, 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 right.
But I'm thinking of Michael going, man, you're going to have to come up with some, you know, soft shoe dance something to get somebody to. It's just too much pressure. Isn't high school already pressure enough?
Yeah, and this keeps to the theme of pressure. Right, right, right.
All right, so now you get this new seniors exam. Talk about pressure. You think these are going to be easy?
Are they not easy? Run them past us. Let's see.
All right. How long did the Hundred Years' War last?
The Hundred Years' War, I would say, lasted 100 years.
That's what I would have guessed, too. Kevin, senior in high school?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say a good 121.
121 years?
Yeah, I'm trying to do math in my head.
You are terrible. He scratches his head
right.
as he's looking at his computer screen, stalling.
That's me thinking.
Is it 121 years?
No, it's 116.
It is?
Oh. Well, my math was all right.
What math did you have
There's
to
not
do?
There's not going to be math problems on this quiz, is there?
Maybe. We had that the other day.
They couldn't have called it the 116 Years War. That wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't have sounded as
no,
eloquent.
No, it's not as efficient. All right.
Which country makes Panama hats?
China.
Oh, these are all like who's buried in Grant's tomb, mm-hmm. except the answer to that would be Grant.
Right, not this.
But not this time. Panama hats are made...
What did you say, Kevin?
I said China.
Good guess, but wrong.
In the United States.
Mm-mm.
No?
Ecuador.
In Ecuador.
Who knows this?
And they're not
this?
Called Ecuadorian hats.
And why not?
What's a Panama hat, by the way?
A straw hat with a big brim is what I would... think
yeah
like a sun hat kind yeah. of thing.
All right, so far we have missed 2,
and you don't ask me the questions, I ask you the questions.
He's cross-examining. Kevin saw one episode of the OJ Simpson movie and he wants to cross-examine.
Have we gotten John Travolta yet?
I'm asking the questions here.
Number 3, from which animal do we get cat gut?
What is cat gut?
Cat gut is what they use to string tennis rackets. That's
it's
cat gut.
The gut of, you'd think a cat, but it's...
I'm going to say pig.
Nice try. You're with the theme where it wouldn't be cat, because that's the obvious answer. Bill, we go to you.
I'm going to go cow.
Both wrong. Sheep and horses.
Is it sheep and horses?
Then why in God's name do they call it cat gut?
Where is this individual getting their information?
It's all over the internet, so don't go. But thank you, Michael from Bensonville.
0 for 3, by the way.
Okay, you need 4 out of 10 to pass. This is the new seniors exam. In which month do Russians celebrate the October Revolution?
February.
Now you're just...
I'm just guessing
answering
wrong.
Answering willy-nilly.
Well, I had a 1 in 11 chance.
You're wrong. Kevin, in which month do Russians celebrate the October Revolution?
I'm going October, wild card.
That'd be a good way to go, but no, November.
You know how sometimes they'll have Oktoberfest, but it's in September?
That's to get a jump on it, though. I could see it happening early.
All right.
Like you're getting ready for Oktoberfest.
And also sometimes Monday Night Football is played on Thursday, but they still call it Monday Night Football.
That is totally unacceptable
That's,
to me.
Right. That's confusing to everybody.
Why did they switch to Thursdays?
They don't always, but sometimes there will be an extra game. And it's not even always Thursdays. It'll just be on a day that isn't Monday, but they still call it Monday Night Football because in their heads, people like Monday Night Football. It doesn't have to be on Monday.
I don't like it. These are questions in the new seniors exam. Senior in high school, you need 4 out of 10 to pass.
Well, that's not going to happen. I already know that.
You're 0 for 4, both of you.
Right.
Number 5, what is a camel's hair brush made of? What?
I'm going to say a yak hair brush.
I'm going to say steel wool. I know I'm not right, but I'm already 0 for 4.
I would pass you guys just because I'm amused by your answers. Squirrel fur.
So they're harvesting squirrels? Is that legal?
They shouldn't do that. That's cruel.
You guys are doing a great job playing the part of the senior, by the way.
0 for 5.
Senior not playing in high any school. Part.
We're not defiant enough. We're not saying literally enough either. I'm going to say literally on my next answer.
I'm going to propose to Bill.
I would like to see that.
I'll probably say yes.
Number 6. The Canary Islands in the Pacific are named after what animal?
They're named after David Canary, who used to be on All My Children.
Hold on, I think
I know this. He was Adam and Stewart.
I'm going to sound real dumb if I'm wrong. Is it a tortoise?
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. A swallow?
Is it a sloth? Literally?
It may be a frog? I don't know.
Rhymes with frog.
Dog.
Yes.
Is it a dog?
Kevin got one right. Does that count? Or are you both 0 for 6?
I think we both missed that because there was a lot of clues thrown.
I'm willing to give myself credit for that one.
All right.
So much fun, Michael from Bensonville. Thanks for sending this in. All right. Here's a trick question.
Wait,
if you can believe it.
Can we do a quick break? Because yes. I'm determined to get one right. I'll feel really bad if I don't get 1 out of 10. So,
okay.
All right. Let's see what happens. I hope everyone's doing as poorly as Kevin and I are. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN. And when I say watch it with Lou Manfredini, I don't mean invite Lou to your house and watch it.
Why not?
He's in it. Well, because he's already seen the episode, and he'll ruin it for you.
He could do a play-by-play of himself.
I guess. All right. Watch it with him.
It's Bill and Wendy, and every once in a while we enjoy getting snail mail, and look who it's addressed to.
Bill and Wendy.
Just simply that.
No last names necessary.
No, it got here. WGN Radio and Michael from Bensonville, Illinois. Thank you. We're talking about this new seniors exam. You only need 4 correct out of 10 questions to pass. This isn't real, and I don't think it's current either. But these are actual questions and answers that you guys were all getting wrong.
You just said this next one is a trick question. They're all trick questions. Every one of these is a trick question.
Yes, and you mentioned the old who's buried in Grant's tomb thing.
Mm-hmm.
John, talk to us about Grant's tomb.
Well, what did you say, Bill? Who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Yeah, that's like a common quiz question. Name the person who is buried in Grant's tomb, and then
Dork
you're supposed
say
to say Grant. But that, you know, is that
and that's only partly right.
Only partly why? How come?
Well, think about you. Think about you when you die. Where are you going to be buried?
In the ground?
I will be cremated. Hopefully after I die. Hopefully.
Anyhow, it's partly right because his wife is buried there with him.
Oh, all right. So it's Mr. and Mrs. Grant. Ulysses and
Mr.
Lou.
Mr. Grant!
And Lou Grant is also thrown in there, yeah.
Yeah, so that's who's buried in Grant's tomb.
Oh, all right.
Although
well,
somebody said it's a tomb, and they're entombed above ground. They're not even buried there.
Oh, that also makes sense.
Take that, John.
All right.
Well, all right.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. You gave up too easily.
He did give up easily, didn't he?
Yes. All right. This is a trick question.
We're 0 for 6, by the way, I believe, right?
Yes.
All right.
Question number 7. You only need 4 out of 10 to pass, so you have...
I have to get all 4 of these right.
Yeah. What was King George the VI's first name? Kevin?
Boy. I'm going to say...
That was not his name. Oh, boy, is not his name.
Jamin James.
Jamin James. Is it Jamin James?
I'm trying to sound it out.
All right.
No, it's not James, but good guess.
What's the question?
What was King George the VI's? That's VI, right?
Right.
What was King George the VI's first name?
Robbie?
In honor of Robbie Benson, did you say that?
No, I just thought his name was Robbie.
Sometimes
what
the name
king's
Robbie.
Name would be Robbie.
That was a very popular king name.
It was
way
Rob
back.
Roy.
Rob Roy.
Right.
Yep.
By the way, I have to mention
that's a drink.
I think it's unfair that you're asking these questions.
Why?
You're on the safe side of this whole game.
I wouldn't get any of these. I'd admit it. I just said we're getting these wrong.
Right.
I asked the questions, Kevin. Zip it. Albert is his name.
Is it Albert? Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Oh, really?
Obviously. Yeah, because I didn't guess. You heard me not guess it.
Do you have Prince Albert in a can?
That is so old.
Well, yeah, it's Prince Albert.
Although now a kid would, if you asked a kid that, they wouldn't know any part of that. They wouldn't understand
that. Yeah, my mind did not go to what it actually is.
Yeah, well, you're not a kid, okay?
All right, I bet Bertrand knows the answer to this. If you've just joined us, we're talking about this new seniors exam, which is kind of a crock, but you need 4 correct out of 10 to pass. And
0 for 7 or 0 for 8?
You're
right
0
now.
For 7.
Yeah.
We're going on question 8. Michael in Bensonville sent this to us, and it was funny.
Thank you, Michael.
I think Bertrand is going to get this one.
Is it about Steve?
No.
Oh.
What's his middle
Sharon.
Name? Sharon.
That's his wife. All right, you
was
ready?
That the question? No.
What color is a purple finch?
A purple finch is gray.
I'm going to say.
What did you say, gray?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Blue.
Wait, what time of day? Because sunset is
kind
of
true.
That affects the color
doesn't.
Of the purple finch. Can I say red? I'm going to guess red.
I'm going to give it to Bill.
I'm the closest. Maroon?
Because crimson.
Is it crimson?
That's red. I'm giving
it
to Bill.
Of it.
Bill got one right.
I got one right. I get to advance.
But
one
I love man's... your conviction, Bertrand. You're like, gray.
One man's crimson is another man's
gray. No, I don't think so.
Ish.
All right.
Where are Chinese gooseberries from?
Right under the...
I don't think we can say.
No, I don't think we can.
We're not allowed to say.
Steve, I just saved you because you did not log out, and I logged out of your account, and they were going to make terrible posts on your Facebook page.
We wouldn't do that.
So careful.
I don't think Bill or Kevin would do
that.
We
don't have it in us.
Thank you.
See, everybody
Thank you,
thinks
Wendy.
I'm the bad guy.
Right. Bad person.
I'm sure not everybody, but...
I swear to God, if you ever leave yourself logged in, I am going to completely hijack your Facebook, your
don't
Twitter,
do that.
And your Steve Bertrand travel
website. Don't do that.
You wouldn't do that.
Don't do that to Steve.
You're too nice.
Where are Chinese gooseberries from?
The Netherlands?
So close, but
am
no.
I close?
Iceland.
No.
Luxembourg.
New Zealand.
Oh, I was going to say New Zealand.
Netherlands are not close to New Zealand. What?
It started with an N. I got nervous.
Oh, man.
The last question.
All right.
This is wrong, I think.
Is it?
I don't know. Again, I think Steve Bertrand will know the answer to this, and we will look this up.
All right.
Question number 10, again, thank you, Michael, from Bensonville, Illinois. If you send us snail mail, we'll use
read
it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot better than, you know, romper room letters that she got.
Right.
I love your show, Miss, what was her name?
Miss Elizabeth.
I see Billy.
Oh, I should get points for that.
It's not on the senior quiz. Oh. All right, last question. What is the color of the black box in a commercial airplane?
Orange.
I was going to say that.
But you didn't.
Well, I was too busy Googling it.
Give Kevin
Steve's
a point
right.
for honesty. It is orange?
So Steve's funny. Right. I'm sorry. I can't deny.
But that's another one. I mean, this, I'm stating the obvious, but just call it the orange box. Why would they call it the black box? It's obviously not. What do they have
didn't
to gain?
Didn't George Carlin do this bit? Why
no,
don't they make the planes out of what
the
they
same
make?
Thing they make? Yeah. A lot of guys did. I don't know if it was George Carlin. Was it George Carlin? Maybe.
I do remember him
they
saying
they should build
that.
A plane out of the same substance they make the black box out
because
of.
It's indestructible.
Right.
So, yes, orange. I don't understand why they call these things what they do. Canary Islands. Not named after canaries. They're named after dogs.
Right. But Dog Island doesn't sound... Like, Canary Island sounds exotic. Dog Islands... Sounds like some magical, mystical place that Steve Dale has rule over, doesn't it?
He's there in his loincloth, walking around the Dog Islands.
Right, wearing a dog head over his own.
Hands on his hips, like yep. in a moment of triumph.
Yep.
Wow.
You guys keep going.
Yeah.
You had some way cool fantasies about Steve Dale.
It's not half of it.
All right, well, you flunked. Steve Bertrand came in late and got one right.
We all got one right.
No, you did. Well,
Kevin
you...
got one. I came. I,
what you... did he get right?
There was one that I nominated to give myself a point for.
That doesn't count.
Well, I think it does.
None of us did well.
No.
That was sad. All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm sad.
Well, you should be sad. This might not be good news for Blackhawks fans. Judd Surratt joins us right now. You know Judd Surratt. He's from the radio, from Judd Surratt. Hi, Judd.
Might not be good news for the Blackhawks.
Oh, it isn't good news for the Blackhawks, is it, Judd?
All right, but wait. Now, for people who didn't see it because they were busy doing something else last night, and even though they were sporting their favorite number 2 jersey for one Duncan Keith, what happened last night on the ice?
All right, so the Blackhawks are trailing 1-0. It's early to the middle portion of the first period. He's involved in a skirmish with Charlie Coyle. Coyle, for some reason, gets his stick between Keith's legs. He yanks him down, and Keith, while he's down on his back on the ice, wildly swings his stick and connects with Charlie Coyle's face. At that point, Keith is given a match penalty for intent to injure, which gives the Wild a 5-minute power play. Keith automatically ejected and automatically suspended because of the match penalty.
Explain match penalty. Why is it called match penalty, Judd?
Intent to injure.
Intent to injure.
Yeah, but he was knocked to the ice, and he was just kind of accidentally flailing the stick.
Wendy, what he did is unacceptable and indefensible.
And I know that he's had a history of doing some of this type of thing in the past, but it's been a long time ago. It upsets me that he would do that intentionally, but I know he did.
Well, I can't get into his head, so I'm not going to say that there was intent there. What I can tell you is exactly what happened on video, and he needs to be in control of his stick. There is just no reason for him to connect and swing wildly and connect with Charlie Coyle's face. And in some sense, he's very fortunate that Coyle was able to finish the game and he wasn't seriously injured. Duncan Keith was suspended 2 prior times. One was, I think, in 2012 in March, when he elbowed Daniel Sedin of Vancouver Canucks, and the other was a 1-game suspension against the Kings back in June of, what was that? It was the playoffs when they lost in the Western Conference Finals to the LA Kings. So technically, because it's past an 18-month span, he is not considered a repeat offender, but the league will certainly look at his past history.
It does look like he just completely swung it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe instead of a game suspension, Judd, maybe we take away his car keys for a little while and he has to be in by 9 o'clock every night. Would that be better?
I think that might be good. You know, when the street lights come on, I think he's got to be in immediately.
In the house. No TV.
But, you know, it's important to note that the NHL offered Duncan Keith an in-person hearing. So that means that the league can possibly suspend him for 6 or more games.
Wow.
We're talking postseason.
Will be. Well, that's potentially the case. You know, I think the best case scenario, if you're the Blackhawks, is that it's just the regular season and it's 5 games. If it's more than that, then this could seriously impact what the Blackhawks do in the first round.
And when this in-person thing that you just mentioned, that's to get his side of the story. Is that why?
That's a good question. You know, I think it's usually something. If the league is going to suspend a player, and it doesn't matter which player, you know, if you're going to suspend him for more than 5 games, you're going to have a discussion with the league in the league offices in New York.
When something like this normally goes down, Judd, not just with the Blackhawks, but any player on any team, what happens internally? Does the coach have a word with him? Does maybe the captain have a word with him and say, hey, this is really a bad time for you to have done this? What goes on internally?
No, that's a good question. You know, I think every team is different, you know, and I don't know exactly how the Blackhawks, I'll be honest with you, handle this internally. I don't think that Duncan Keith, as a veteran player, needs to be spoken to by management or by the captain, Jonathan Toews, to know exactly the ramifications of his actions and how it'll impact the team.
I think, you know, he knows.
He did the wrong thing.
Like, they would just go, what the hell?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And really, I'm watching it zoomed in and close up, and
it's not pretty.
And it's, I wish he wouldn't have made contact, because then it wouldn't have, would it have still been an offense?
Wendy, you still can't swing your stick wildly like that.
Yeah.
You just have to be in control of your stick. You have to, not only do you have to do it to have the discipline, because listen, you're trying to win some games at this point. You're trying to hopefully get yourself in the fight for home ice, which I think is definitely out the window. You're trying to stay in front of the Nashville Predators.
A lot of pressure.
Picture here, but you also have to have respect for one another on the ice.
And he's won that award. He does. I'm so disappointed in my jersey number.
Yeah, and Duncan
Keith.
I'm
still wearing it. He's Duncan Keith, but it just, to me, didn't, I was shocked.
Right.
When I heard this.
Right. Do you think, Judd, now the Blackhawks have reached, obviously, a rough stretch the last couple of weeks, and I know that builds up some frustrations. Do you think that plays into it a little bit with him?
Again, it's hard for me to crawl into his head and say, you know, what exactly was happening here. I mean, these are guys, you know, in general that have been through a lot. I can't say that any frustration mounted. You know, again, it's so difficult. I can't crawl into his head and tell you exactly what was going on at that moment. But what I can tell you is exactly what happened on the ice at that time. He was on his back. He was taken down by Charlie Coyle. He was not
very hard, too. It was a hard fall to the ice for Duncan Keith.
Mm-hmm.
But Wendy, at the same time,
no, you know, that's no excuse for him to swing the stick.
It is not. It is not. And the league, what the league will do, and I sent out a tweet, which is basically for people who have frequently asked questions about NHL player safety. There's a good Q&A that's on the NHL's website. I tweeted it out. You can find it at Judd, @JUDD_Sirott, SIROTT. And it goes through the whole litany of things that the league will consider while they're handing out supplemental discipline. And one of the things that they will look at is what was the context of what happened during the course of the game? Was there something that happened earlier in the game? Was there something that happened on the play? When did this take place during the course of the game? So the league will try and take all of those things into account when they ultimately make their decision.
Because if you watch it in slow motion, it looks like Coyle is lifting up his stick that's under Duncan Keith's skate to flip him over.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm so easily swayed with this because we want to believe in our Hawks.
Well, you know, I think the hard part, Wendy, is I cannot tell you what his intent was. You know, and that's probably what NHL player safety is going to say at that point. But what they can tell you is exactly what took place on the ice. When I did see the play live, you know, my first thought was that Charlie Coyle slew-footed Duncan Keith.
Sure,
and
looks like
play
it.
All right, in hockey terms, when you slew-foot someone, you take their feet out from behind. It's a very dangerous play, and a lot of times guys can get seriously hurt because they can smash the back of their head on the ice, which can result in a concussion. Again, I don't know if that's necessarily why Duncan Keith reacted the way he did. What I can tell you is, even if that did happen, he must be in control of his stick. He was not. He connected with Charlie Coyle, and he was ejected from the game.
And, you know, players shouldn't be worried about somebody whacking them with a stick, dirty hit or not. But at first I'm thinking, you know, Coyle, this wasn't anything dirty. It knocked Duncan Keith off his skates. But upon further inspection, it looks like he completely lifted his skates and feet from underneath him. But again, you're right, Judd, you can't go swinging your sticks around like it's a weapon.
You just can't, you know, and people talk about toughness all the time, Wendy. You know, toughness is not someone who drops the gloves and fights. A lot of times toughness is having the discipline to sustain a hit like that and not retaliate and put your team at a disadvantage, whether it's Duncan Keith or anybody else. This will happen a lot. It certainly happened to guys like Keith and plenty of Blackhawks along the way. That's what toughness is about, toughness and discipline, and the Blackhawks needed more of it.
If you wouldn't mind, if we can get away from this story for just a second, Corey Crawford has now been out for a lot longer than any of us had hoped.
Right.
When do we expect him to return? What exactly is going on there, Judd?
That's a really good question, Bill, and I asked that question to Troy Murray last night because it's been very difficult to discern that just listening to Joel Quenneville. The only thing I can tell you is, from the people that I talk to within the organization, they seem to say that it's not serious and he should be back here soon. I have no idea whatsoever, and I understand what the conjecture and the speculation is. I have no idea what exactly ails him. Mm-hmm. And because it's the National Hockey League and it's a complete black box, we're never going to really find out exactly what it is. But it sounds like that we will see him before the end of the regular season, that it's nothing serious, and shouldn't inhibit or impede him from playing in the playoffs. And hopefully, you know, because he's been off the ice here for a little bit, he hasn't exactly had time to skate and practice and be involved in games,
yeah,
that hopefully he can regain the form that really put him as a Vezina Trophy candidate as the goaltender of the year in the National Hockey League.
Judd, there's a rumor that goes around about hockey and hockey players because they don't have to disclose specifically what the injury is, that the reason behind that is so that other players don't hear that and go, okay, the guy's got a bad rib cage on the right side, let's target that. Is that true? Is that what goes on?
I mean, that's typically the case. I've talked to many players in the past, and, you know, you'll listen, these guys watch and follow the game very well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they think it's a lower body injury and a guy's taking a slap shot off the foot and they're not sure which foot, I remember asking players in the past, you know, and they'll say, you know what, I'm just going to test both feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that the league's position is, unless it's a long-term injury, and usually most teams are the same, that if it's a something long-term, like Marcus Kruger experiencing the dislocated left wrist, that they will make an announcement exactly what the injury is. But I think you are correct there, Bill. What I think they want to try and stay away from is having players target other players after they've experienced some injuries.
Yeah.
How many games has Corey missed? I've lost track now.
That is a good question.
I wanted to say six.
Five or six, I think, right?
It's been up there.
Hold on. I just happened to pull up the NHL game notes before we came on because I wanted to look to see how the Blackhawks had done with Keith out of the lineup early in the season. Remember, he missed 10 games early in the season having knee surgery, and they were 5-4-1 without him. For Corey Crawford, he has missed 6 games thus far.
Yeah.
That just seems like an awful lot of game, you know, a lot of games to miss. And we hope he's okay. Good news for Marian Hossa, number 499 last night.
And fitting that it came shorthanded. He was a beast while the Blackhawks were trying to kill off that 5-minute power play for the Minnesota Wild. And that was a terrific feed by Jonathan Tazan. And hopefully that's something good for Marian. I know a lot of people have been just hitting Marian with this barrage of questions about getting his 500th goal. And I think it's certainly been on his mind, and maybe getting 499 will help loosen things up. And he's able to get it quickly here. The Blackhawks will be off the ice today. They'll practice tomorrow, then they'll head to Winnipeg and they'll take on the Jets Friday.
Judd, just one other quick thing. I know they made some nice acquisitions right at the trade deadline, but getting Andrew Ladd back, I thought it would be a good thing. It's been a really good thing. He's really been producing.
He's been great. I think Andrew Ladd has been terrific for this team. And really, most of the guys who have been acquired by Stan Bowman at the trade deadline have made some good contributions. Tomas Fleischmann has proven to be a very useful and valuable player for the team.
Yeah.
But for a guy like Andrew Ladd, and I think it's only going to get better, Bill, because when he first came on board, even Andrew admitted that maybe I was looking to get the puck too often to Taves and Hossa, and I wasn't really playing my normal game. And that's not something uncommon, even for a veteran player. So now that he's kind of gone through that, I think he had mentioned, listen, I'm just going to play my normal game state, make the plays when they're there, be responsible defensively, finish my checks, and it's resulted in 3 goals in the last 3 games.
Well, getting Fleischmann was a natural because you got the bread man, so you want somebody representing margarine, don't you?
How did I know that was going to come up? How did I know?
All right. Well, Judd, I'm sad about Duncan Keith. When will we find out how many games he might be out of?
Unknown. You know, I think the question is, when does the in-person hearing take place? He has the ability to waive that in-person hearing, and he can conduct it over the phone, which will expedite the process. But that's something we still have to find out. So,
isn't that when you put your suit on and you're on your best behavior
absolutely.
And you go in person and go, listen, man,
I don't
know.
You bake cookies, you bring them fresh cookies.
Do you think Gary Bettman and the boys, or if he's talking to Stefan Quintal, who oversees NHL player safety, do you think he's a peanut butter cookie guy? You know, do you...
Chocolate chip.
Yeah.
You know,
or hot,
you
gooey.
Go to the Thin Mints that are awesome. You know,
oh,
you
those are good,
throw them
too.
In the old NHL freezer and just kind
right.
of pull them out.
No, homemade is the way to go because he should be sorry. If there was intent behind it, it just is... I keep flip-flopping back and forth as I'm watching it slowed down and blown up because it does...
Wendy, intent or no intent,
I know.
You can't do it.
I know. But I can see where it would happen.
Moment of passion.
You're getting pissed off, you know? It's coming down to the nitty-gritty. What, there are 5 games left?
Five games left, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and the important thing is they have to stay. You want to stay in front of the Nashville Predators. Nashville lost last night, so they have a four-point edge over Nashville. But if for some reason Nashville passes them, then it's likely the Blackhawks could move into the Pacific Division when the playoffs take place. That means rigorous travel and two punishing teams that you could face in the first round, either the Kings or the Anaheim Ducks. I think you'd like to try and avoid that. Not that playing St. Louis or Dallas is going to be a cakewalk whatsoever, because those are two awesome teams and two teams that, by the way, have more points than the Kings. So you want to try and stay in front of the Predators if at all possible.
I went to Nashville for the first time in my life last year, last summer. We're going again. I love it there. I hate the Predators. I'm sorry.
We're basing it on that, Judd. What it's come down to. Judd, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. We're hoping for nothing but the best the rest of the way for the Blackhawks.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
Thank you, Judd. Our friend Judd Surratt, covering the Blackhawks beat. We're going to take a quick break and then be right back. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Want to jump in? Want to be part of the show? 312-981-7200. You can call us. You can text us. You're not a roller coaster rider, are you?
No, but I did go on. What is my Disney ride I went on?
Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's more of a log ride or a flume ride.
A what?
A flume ride.
What does that mean? For wussies?
No.
No, it's named after Joanne Flegg, right?
Joanne Flug.
Flug.
Right.
Flag.
Steve was cross-mixing his fanny flag and his Joanne Flug, and you should never mix your flug and your flag. You know that. You're flirting with disaster when you mix your flug and your flag.
What if you throw Flegel in there?
Flegel, flug, and flag? You don't want to mix that.
I was taken back to the Joker's Wild there, and I took a wrong turn.
All right, but that's still a roller coaster. There still
No.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, it is.
Nope. Mm-mm. Totally different.
It's a floating log ride.
Yeah.
There's a big drop, and then, yes, you splash in some water.
Right.
But you could have that element in both a roller coaster and in a flume ride.
All right, I'm not into roller coasters.
You don't like them. You won't go on one if you've been in a... And you have. You've been in roller coaster situations. You've opted out. You're just not a fan. You're not afraid of them.
I don't like the way my stomach drops like that. I don't like that feeling. I know that's the buzz that everybody does it for.
Weightlessness.
I don't like that.
You don't enjoy that?
It makes me want to throw up.
How about that? Were you always that way? When you were a kid, did you like to go on?
I went on the one at Kitty Land.
Yeah,
that's more of a flume ride.
That is a roller coaster, guys. It does the loop-de-loop and everything. Yes.
I don't think.
I went on the American Eagle. That's the all wooden one. I went on
that's
that.
Good.
I went on the Batman ride.
Did you?
Actually, I went on the Demon, and I went when we were at Q101.
Yeah.
I went on the Demon. I went on the wooden one.
Willard's Wizard?
Yes, I did that even.
That was always my favorite one.
Willard's Wizard.
The Wizard, yeah.
That's
you know
fun.
What turned me away from roller coasters? The Batman ride.
Why? How come?
I got so sick after I got off of that. I didn't know if I was going to throw up or do some other business.
Yeah.
It just really sent me...
what other business? Other than throwing up, what would have happened?
I didn't know.
Anything could have happened.
I could have fainted. I didn't know.
Oh, all right.
Really, I have to explain that to you? I just felt like so sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
And that's just, I don't know if it was because your body's suspended down there where you're not actually sitting in something.
Sure.
But I could not get my bearings the rest of the day.
Really?
And I really kind of swore off roller coasters ever
Based
since
on
the
that.
Batman ride.
Based on that.
You like them?
I do. I enjoy them a lot. And it's, you know, I've tried to analyze why some people are so into him. You know Marcus Leshock right over at Channel 9 News. I don't know how he pulls this off, but every day he's at an amusement park somewhere around the world, and he's riding on amusement park rides on roller coasters with his kids and stuff. I want in on that. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's always somewhere. He just posted something the other day. He's like in California or something with his daughter, and they're riding some ride. Good for him. I love that stuff. And I've actually been on the last one that that Great America opened, not last summer, but the summer before.
The biggest one ever or something like that?
Yeah, but you know what? They all say that. Every time somebody opens up a roller coaster, it's the biggest and fastest and longest and scariest. I don't know who's testing them, but someone's not telling the truth. They can't all be the biggest. And that's impossible,
Does
right?
Does your whole family like it? Like the girls and Terry, do they go on roller coasters?
Kylie loves them. Reese does not, and my wife does not.
I really have tried. And when I went to Disney last year for my make good trip, because I've had bad Disney trips in the past, not through any fault of Disney.
Yeah.
I really tried last year and I enjoyed the Space Mountain.
Space Mountain's a lot of fun.
That's
you didn't
not
like
it.
That one?
That's not what I'm talking about.
Splash Mountain?
Yeah, Space Mountain I didn't go on.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. It's all mountains.
That was too herky jerky and that gave me a headache.
It did.
I'm a lot of fun at Disney.
How about It's a Small World?
Did you go on that one?
No, world? I've gone beyond that.
I picture
that.
You riding that with your arms up in the air. The whole ride. Hey, lady, I can't see the dolls from Tokyo. Could you put your arms down? Nope. I'm riding it the whole way with my arms up.
Isn't this fun?
You can't make me put my arms down.
That, I'll admit, a little too babyish for me, if you can believe it.
Was it? Yeah?
I don't. You know, all I do at Magic Kingdom is walk around wondering why they don't sell beer and get more pissed off that I can't get a beer.
That's no way to be at the happiest place on earth.
Give me Epcot or give me death. That's what I say.
Here's the reason I bring this up. There's a reason. At an amusement park in England, in Devon, England, they're opening up a new roller coaster that they call the Big One.
Another one of these things. The biggest ever.
It says here, the Big One is being touted as, and I quote, the biggest, highest, and fastest roller coaster, but then it says in small print, in North Devon.
All right, well, at least they know.
I don't know if there are other roller coasters in North Devon. So maybe they're being honest and maybe they're not.
But how can they keep saying this? Every place says it.
I'm telling you, over the years, I can't tell you how many amusement parks I've been to where they say home of the biggest, fastest, longest, scariest. Our success rate of bringing back survivors is somewhere around 10%. They always say that. And you go, well, come on, really? They can't all be. All right.
Why can't we start saying like the top rated best show on the station, Bill and Wendy show?
Because they would know we were lying.
Everybody else can lie.
I know, but they would know. All right, so at this particular amusement park and this particular ride, the Big One in North Devon, you are not allowed to scream when you're on it. They forbid screaming.
I don't scream.
What do you do? What sort of...
I cry.
Do you weep?
I don't scream, though. I just kind of like... I don't even know. God.
You're allowed to cry on it. They're not going to say you can't cry on it, but screaming is not allowed. It says, for many thrill seekers, part of the fun of death-defying coasters is being able to let loose with a blood-curdling scream. But riders of the Big One at the Big Sheep Amusement Park in the UK, they may want to... Maybe sit down and have a meeting about the name of the amusement park, the Big Sheep.
Yeah, that doesn't sound so inviting.
Riders of the Big One have been told to tone it down to avoid upsetting those who live close to the park.
The sheep.
I guess
you're
mostly
waking the sheep
mostly
up.
The sheep. The sheep do not want to hear your screams.
Do you scream on a roller coaster?
Do you know what I do? I laugh the whole time. I can't stop laughing.
Thank you, Simon Bar-Sinister.
It's not a demonic laugh, but there's something about it that just makes me laugh the whole time. And my family will go, why are you laughing? And I don't know why I'm laughing. I can't stop laughing. You're tickling me.
I make no noise like in a dream when you go to scream and you can't scream. That's what I do.
Zero.
I just...
Really?
Yeah, I don't really like it.
Are you counting the minutes? Are you looking at the track going, I'll be done in 45 seconds? I can't wait.
No, it's just that click, click, click.
That's the scariest part of any roller coaster is ascending up and hearing that clicking noise.
It just makes me so, I don't even know why I go on the rides. I'm going to be the one that has a heart attack and dies on a ride. I'll be the one that dies at Disney.
I hope
they have
that's
to put
true.
A white sheet over me and get me off the park premises.
I don't want that to be true. The coaster, the Big One, which is over 1,300 feet long and drops riders 42 feet.
I've already heard ones
that's
that
not
are
a lot.
Bigger than that.
42 feet's not a lot.
I don't know what that is.
That's nothing.
Says you who laughs during the whole time.
I laugh at that 42 feet. I see that. I'm laughing already. It opened on Friday following a 5-year battle over planning permissions with local residents who reportedly complained that the new ride would be intrusive. The thrill ride is being promoted as Devon's biggest, highest, and longest roller coaster. I told you that. But a sign appears at the ride's entrance, which reads, this is a family ride, not a white-knuckle thrill ride. Enjoy the view, but love our neighbors. please, and this is in all caps and with a British accent, please do not shout or scream. And then it says, thank you. And because the park is the big sheep, you is spelled E-W-E.
It is not.
Look.
Oh.
Right there.
I don't want this voice.
They're using sheep humor.
I'm going to go on their roller coaster and scream.
Yeah. What could they do?
Stop the ride and leave you up at the top.
It's an impulse, though. If you're riding a roller coaster and you're afraid of it, I would think a scream would be natural. They can't stop. Bobbies aren't going to come on and pull you off the ride midway through the ride.
Bobbies?
Those are British police.
Really?
Yeah. All right. Will we be making a trek out to Devon anytime soon, you and I, to ride this ride?
I will not say hello to it.
No.
Really, because I would look like I was dying and you would just be laughing.
I can't stop.
You really just laugh the whole way.
The whole time. From the time it starts until I end. Yeah, sometimes
I can't see you doing that because you don't like to lose control and do that.
Well, I always sit in the back. Every roller coaster I go on, I always get the back car because I've been told by people who know physics that that car goes faster because of gravitational pull. Did you know that?
People who know physics.
Yeah, just let them talk.
Physics experts. A lot of my friends
barely say expert.
Many of my closest friends are physics experts. Those are the circles I travel in.
Right.
So whenever I go, when I travel with physics experts to amusement parks, they always say, "Let's go on the back car."
Well, why do kids always want to go on the front? Because they get a better view of going down over the.
I think that's it.
The
view
front.
Is better in the front. But you know how
I close my eyes the whole time. I don't even enjoy it.
You may never have even been on a roller coaster. Your eyes are closed.
I can't help but picturing her in that boat going through. It's a small world.
It's a world of laughter. Lady, put your arms down.
All of a sudden, you come out of the dark. You're in the light. There's Wendy with her
hands.
I can't see. There's dolls from Borneo singing songs, and I can't see them, lady. Please.
It's a bigger world if you can't see it.
All right.
I'm glad I.
We're laughing
so
at you.
Fodder.
We're not laughing with you.
We're not laughing with you.
Wendy. We are. All right. A quick break. More show. Put your arms up. It's Bill and Wendy. WGN.
Bertrand thinks he's so funny. He's putting his arms up in the air.
He is funny.
I'm just up here living life, man. Woo!
Ooh, he is
funny. Do you
go
on a roller coaster? Because
no,
I can't believe you could let yourself go and have fun.
No, I hate him. I really do.
See? Do you, Steve? I'm surprised.
No, I've never liked him.
I'm with you.
I like the Whizzer one at
Willard's Whizzer.
That's about as wild as I get.
Yeah.
And it's because of my center of gravity so much higher. I'm more at risk, I think.
But you're halfway up the hill just when you show up.
I know, but when, you know, mine is the head that would get whacked by the other cars upside down. And
yeah.
I was going to make that as a joke, but I'm glad you're doing it. I felt bad, so I'm glad you're doing it for me.
That's true.
Mark, we're talking about roller coasters.
Love or fear of roller
coasters.
And
I do not put my arms up at It's a Small World.
Yeah, well, I can appreciate that. No, funny story though. We've been to Disney World several times, but my first time was when my son was, I say, approximately 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the big thing for him is his favorite holiday is Halloween, and so we had to go to the Tower of Terror first.
I hear that's a pretty huge drop. And
that's a great ride.
I have been scared to go on.
He was checking. We were going through the entrance, and oh, this is cool. Look at the dust. Look at the cobwebs. Look at all that. Oh, wow, this is great. And I'm like, you know, we really don't have to ride this if you don't want to. And he's, no, we got to, no, I want to do this. This is going to be great. This is.
For people who don't know, Tower of Terror is a runaway elevator. You don't know.
This is based on the Twilight Zone, which I love, so I wanted to go on it.
And that anticipation with Rod Serling and everything else.
Yeah.
The doors close, the presentation starts, and he's like, okay, I got to get out now.
I've seen enough.
Was there time to get out?
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then they take pictures of you, right? You know, in process.
Wetting your pants.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, then after the end, you know, there's the picture of my son hanging on to me for dear life, you know. So. But, I can appreciate what you go through, Wendy. Every year we do that, and it was like he was, like, saying to me, no, we can get through it. We can do it. I want to do it. It's going to be fun. And then he backs out. So.
So
that's the ride when I went to Disneyland in December with one of my daughters. A lady next to me was so afraid that she screamed and threw her arms up in the air and hit me in the chest and broke my sunglasses, broke my Maui Jim sunglasses because she was so afraid.
I do remember that story. I don't.
Did you get reimbursed?
Yeah, they're
after he whined about it.
The Maui Jim people have been nice enough; they're going to replace him for me. So, yeah,
that's so weird because I drove over my Maui Jim sunglasses last week.
You did?
Yeah.
Mark, thank you for calling.
Oh, you are.
But see, now Mark likes the rides. I don't, so I'm really not a lot of fun to go to Disney with. But I try.
Yeah.
I do the Splash Mountain, and then they're like, "Oh, good one, Mom."
Right.
And I do the Star Tours.
That's a simulator. That's a good ride.
I can only do once in a row, though, because it takes a lot out of me. And the Haunted Mansion I love.
Do you know, I don't know where this amusement park is. Oh, it's in California. I'm trying to remember. I want to say it's Magic Mountain in California. They have a roller coaster that's one of their older wooden roller coasters. So here's what they're doing this year that they've never done before. When you ride the roller coaster, you wear a virtual reality headset, and they show you this film. It's half roller coaster and it's half virtual reality because you're riding the roller coaster, but you're seeing something on the screen in front of you.
Like you falling off a cliff or something?
Yeah, you're like traveling.
You're trying to kill me, aren't you?
I'm not trying to kill you, but I thought, no, I'm not. I'm not. But I thought, what a novel approach to spruce up an old ride to give it this new high-tech twist. Because nobody's done that before.
That is a really good idea, but that would be too much for me to handle. Hey, Bob.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to, I told the screener that, so I'm a vet, I've been in helicopters and, as a door gunner, I've been, in troop transports where, I mean, guys are getting sick and it's vomit all over the place. I've been out in the Atlantic tuna fishing about 100 miles out, never got sick. However, if my daughter says to me, Daddy, can we go on a teacup ride? I'm just like, let me throw up right now, get it out of the way.
So that's the round and round that makes you sick,
the
isn't
spinning.
It? Because like Tilt-A-Whirls do that
you know
to
what?
Me, too.
It's I don't know whether it's round and round, but whatever it is.
It's too pink.
I did that Tower of Terror thing. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you stop me going up and down and spinning around in a ride.
That's and your threshold.
That's it.
Wow. I wonder why that would be. Isn't that something?
And like I say, there was guys getting sick next to me, and
sure.
You know, that usually triggers it. No problem. But that's it. Little ride.
Can't do it.
Thanks for your service, Bob. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Bob.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Teacups are too pink.
So
too much
is.
Pink makes you puke.
It's the color.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A break. Some news. More show. Bill and Wendy. WGN.
It's Bill Left. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Steve, I hope you can hang around. And Kevin, you know, I hang with all the guys. And I just want you to know, do you guys understand women? That's a question I have for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely, we do.
Yeah, it's open book.
100%.
It's really an easy thing.
I think so.
Yeah.
This should be great then.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of things when men and women speak. They say the same things, but a lot of times they mean very different things.
Oh, yeah, I could see that, sure.
Uh-huh.
You look great, honey.
Are you talking to Bill?
No, I'm just
could
saying
you
that's
take
what
this
you
off
say.
Here?
You just say that. You look great.
There are things that you're required to say. You'll get in trouble if you don't say
well,
them.
Well, no, it's things that we say that mean something different than what you think they mean.
Oh.
Key phrases that women use all the time and men keep misunderstanding.
Okay.
So we're going to find out now if you may think you and your significant other are on the same page, but I don't think you are.
Okay.
What about when a woman says, which of my friends is most attractive?
Oh,
do
don't
even answer
do
that?
Do not answer
no,
that.
That means you never pick up the dry cleaning.
What?
Everything's a code.
So if a woman says that, and she'll go,
which one of my friends is the cutest? First of all, I know better than to ask that
Why
question.
Why would anyone answer that question?
It's
but
deadly.
I have said to Jim, like we'll be walking down the street, and I will see a girl who I think is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And I will say, oh, my God, she is gorgeous. Isn't she pretty? And he just stands there with his mouth open. He doesn't know what to say.
But there's a difference if they're going to be in your life.
Oh, a huge difference.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Do you remember the scene in National Lampoon's Vacation, in the original one, where they establish Christie Brinkley's character, and then Beverly D'Angelo says to Chevy Chase, "Do you think she's pretty, Clark?" And he goes, "No, she's ugly." Like that. That's your best answer.
That's a bad answer.
Well, it's extreme, but you get in less trouble.
You know what the good answer is?
None of them are as beautiful as you.
That's it.
None of them are as beautiful as you.
Or poke out my eyes.
Right. Save me. Just do it now. Take my eyes out.
Right.
Kevin, you had a better one?
I was just going to say, yeah, you can't say that, like, if she's blatantly attractive, you can't
yeah,
say
you
no,
can't
she's
say
not
she's
attractive
a dog.
At all. Yeah, because that's...
Because then we know you're lying.
Right.
Right.
Spoken like a man who's yet to be married.
I just changed the subject.
What if you said, I bet this would be good, what if you just said, you know what, beauty's really not that important to me.
Right.
Say that and see what happens.
That's why I married you, honey.
Right.
Oh, that'll go
that
well.
That couldn't backfire.
No.
Bertrand, every day you say something that amazes me more.
There was a girl I was dating long, long, long before I met my wife. I didn't know my wife even
nice
existed.
Nice disclaimer.
This was back in the 1930s. And she said, if you wouldn't have met me, which one of my friends, like let's say you would have met just my friend. So it's a version of this, but in that scenario, she doesn't exist. So which one of my friends would you have dated?
Oh, that's not a fair answer.
I hid. I hid in the closet. I went, no, I can't tell you that.
It's the same question with a different dress on.
Right. It is.
All right. What about when, these are phrases that women use and men misunderstand. What about when we go, thanks a lot?
Well, here's what I have found, and maybe I'm wrong. If a woman says thank you, I get it. She's grateful for something. But thanks a lot has just enough sarcasm
yep.
in it.
Thanks a lot.
It's the a lot part.
That's what means we're not happy, like you screwed up again.
It does, doesn't it?
Thanks a lot.
Like just say thanks. If you say thanks.
Thanks, honey.
The transaction has happened.
Right.
Thanks a lot means.
You let us down.
There's some debate. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
That's true, isn't it?
Yes. You passed that.
All right.
What about when we say, do you need to do that now?
Oh, so that would come in like if somebody was playing video games or there's
the
something.
The answer is yes.
No.
The answer is no.
Please, Kevin.
The answer is no.
Do
if
not
we
say yes.
Hey, what you doing?
What about I'd like to?
No.
Don't say that either.
You could teach him.
Be like, what are you doing now? I'm saving the world. Do you have to do it now?
Right.
No, I do not.
Do that
I
on your own time.
I'll do it later.
We can the world will be around.
Because a good answer would be, I was thinking about doing it now, but I bet you have something more important for me to be doing.
Yep. Or we want your attention.
Yeah. Right.
Kevin, you have to learn.
Yeah.
Well, write this stuff down, Kevin.
What about when you say, what's going on, what's wrong, and a woman says, oh, nothing.
Yeah, that usually comes
say,
with what,
great,
what's
I'll
wrong.
I'll see you later tonight.
No, don't. Kevin, he's kidding on that one.
I know that one.
He's
yeah.
kidding on that one.
That one's pretty transparent.
So you see your girlfriend, your wife, you see her visibly upset, and you say, because you care about her, is everything okay? What's wrong? And then her answer is, oh, nothing. You know that it's not nothing.
No, I'm saying, shoot, boy, dodge the bullet there.
Can I just say I make it very easy for Jim because if he asks me what's wrong, I will tell him.
Sure.
I don't do these games.
Right.
Seriously.
You
I don't
tell
say,
him.
Oh, nothing. I'd be like, you know what happened? Bertrand was driving me nuts again today. That's
and then
what
he
I
puts
say.
A hash mark on the wall.
Again, really?
Why is today different?
He's eight shy of Cal Ripken's streak. He's almost there.
And then he goes on to say, Bertrand's the best part of your show.
Yep.
I love when he blows you crap.
Yep.
All right. What about when a girl goes, oh, I'll eat anywhere.
Yeah, that's not true.
That means McDonald's.
We're
she
liars.
Wants McDonald's. No,
that means we're going to go through an entire list of restaurant choices only to come to one that's completely not on the list at all that she picks.
Right. Something that serves tofu.
You guys are very smart.
Beaten
Who's
down,
eating
really?
Tofu?
I like tofu.
Kevin?
Kevin is. Obviously.
It doesn't taste like anything.
Right.
But in that moment.
Then why eat it?
The texture's fun.
It's not. It's like silly putty.
Well, there is something there.
But in that moment
coming
of.
From a guy who ate glue and tape
right,
and rubber
right.
cement.
But in that moment of negotiation where you're trying to determine where you are going to eat, when you put the ball in her court and she goes, I don't care. Whatever you have a taste for, I'll eat anywhere. That's
and then you
trap.
Bring something up and then they're going. I don't really have a taste for Mexican
that.
Food.
And then the next thing you know, she's saying, oh, really, KFC?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yep.
All right, what about when a woman says, fine?
Yeah, never good.
Never fine.
Never good.
We're easy to figure out.
That
Come
word
on.
Should mean the word fine.
Right.
Should mean fine, but it doesn't always mean fine.
Wendy, we know that we're wrong. We just don't know how to fix it. So
right.
We pick up on the verbal cues.
Sometimes we don't know how we're wrong. We know we're
right,
wrong.
We know.
We get that part. We're wrong.
We don't know what to do about it.
We don't know why we're wrong.
A good rule of thumb in life goes like this: the shorter a response, the worse it is.
Mm.
That's true.
That's good advice.
Why is that true, though? It is true, but why is that so true?
Whether you're in a heated text session or a real conversation and she drops a fine on you, the outcome is a bad one. Fine, much like good, are not the kind of answers you want to hear when you ask how the lady of your life is doing.
Right. How you doing? Good. Oh, that's bad.
Right.
If she drops one of those on you, then you need to immediately put your ears up, investigate any potential wrongdoing on your part, and start a domestic retreat.
Oh.
Give her space. Don't press for her to explain what is wrong in a pushy way. You want to know the truth, but you'll want it on her time, not yours. We're not that bad.
You're not that bad, but it's similar to when, well, you have kids, so you know. If you say to your kid, is everything good? Fine. You know it's not fine.
I know, and I can't leave that alone. I'm like, why? What's wrong?
Right. I said fine.
I don't want to talk about it. Well, talk about it. Something's obviously bugging you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard for me. I know you'll find this shocking.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get things solved right away. Mm-hmm. I really do like to problem solve. And in that instance, I mess things up because I should. That's obvious someone needs some space.
Take it at face
value. I can't
value.
Give space.
Right. It's almost better to hear disastrous. Like, how are things? Disastrous.
Oh, my God, what's wrong?
But fine is so, there's a hidden meaning to fine.
All right, what if a girl says, can we take a break and come back and finish these?
Oh, that's the hardest
that's,
one. When a girl
that.
Says that,
I've not run into
you
that.
Know that your relationship's over.
Men and women are a little different. Sometimes women say things when maybe we mean something else.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going through a little quiz, and you guys are all pretty good at this, surprisingly.
I think we've all figured it out a little bit.
Kevin's
women,
still working on it.
They're simple, simple creatures. It's not a big deal.
Yep.
Oh, you're saying we're simple?
Well, no, I didn't mean like... hold on.
Easy to understand. Is that better or worse? I don't know if that's better or worse.
I just really try hard, and maybe I'm known as a bitch, but I try to say what I'm feeling so there aren't that many games.
Yeah.
I'm a little passive-aggressive when... It's
yep.
someone around here because I don't want to be mean, but at home I'm pretty much mean.
Saw that firsthand today at lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that lady couldn't order over my shoulder.
But you didn't have to strike her. That seemed
I
a little much.
In honor of Duncan Keith?
Did you do that for Duncan Keith? I'm like, where did Wendy get a hockey stick? Why is she hitting another customer with a hockey stick?
All right. What about when a girl says, that guy is looking at me?
All right. So does that mean... Hey, guess what? Other guys find me attractive. What does that mean when a woman would say that? What is that for?
I don't understand why somebody would say that. I would keep that to myself. I wouldn't say that to my husband. Oh, that guy over there is checking me out because God knows what Jimmy Mack might do.
He might challenge them.
Well,
to a stare off.
He might just get in his. He wouldn't touch him, but he would like maybe like give him an evil glance or something.
Right.
So I don't know.
This
I would
my property. Look elsewhere.
Obviously,
that kind of thing?
Yes. Obviously, guys. Well, I'm not his property.
Not his property.
I know what you meant, though.
This is I stake my claim to this lass.
And she makes me stakes.
Right.
So leave her alone.
Right.
Obviously, guys are going to notice how beautiful your significant other
Obviously.
Is. Sometimes your girl will feel flattered, and other times it will bother you.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, if she mentions that a guy is flirting with her when you're around, then you need to take notice. While the guy may or may not be actually flirting with her, your response is clear. You need to give more attention to your woman.
Mm-hmm.
She mentions the other guy's looks solely to make you more attentive. Don't be a meathead and start a fight. Be a good guy and give her more love. That's good advice.
Yeah.
Solid. Sure.
I think I notice more than she does typically.
You notice what?
Other guys when looking other, at
exactly.
her.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
And what do you say when you see that happen?
I mean, well, I'll Nothing. Tell her, but yeah, I'll just, you know.
You tell her?
Yeah.
That guy was checking
but
you
I'll,
out.
But I'll swoop in and, you know, stand next to her.
Sure.
Make it clear that, hey, back
yep.
off, dude.
Yep.
So that's when you come up and put your arm around her and
yeah.
stuff? Oh, God, we hate that.
Is that bad?
You don't need to do that.
Well, I'm not being, like, slimy about it or anything, but, you know, just making it clear, because... If she's at a, you know, if we're, like this past weekend kind of happened, like there was a guy lurking behind her at the bar.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of went up and stood next to her at the bar. And she,
as if to say.
She knew and she said
spoken
thanks.
Spoken for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Kevin also
she...
has a Viking helmet that he'll put on really quickly. Strap on a Viking helmet.
See, because if I need help, if it's a guy I can't get rid of, I'll give Jim a look. Like, could you come help me?
Save me.
But if all of a sudden he would just show up, that would be weird.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I like to observe. Like, if he's, you know, if a girl's talking to him at the bar or something,
uh-huh.
I'll sit back and watch and see what happens.
See how quickly he can screw it up? Is that what you do? How soon till he mentions Star Wars and she finds a way to go somewhere else?
He very rarely brings up Star Wars.
Does he? All right.
I mean, you know, if he's talking to somebody in the Star Wars world, yes, he'll bring it up. But he has a lot of other go-to things.
Yeah.
Led Zeppelin.
But he wouldn't walk up to a girl in a bar and go, you have the beauty of both Tanika sisters put together. He wouldn't say that.
I don't even know who that is.
Those were the girls in the cantina scene in Star Wars.
Oh, really?
The twins, yeah.
I thought that was the Maori twins.
No, that's not their...
Who are they?
No. Tia and Tamara?
That's who I thought you meant.
No, it's not them. No.
Because he would bring that up.
Right.
He watches That's So Raven. That's what he'd bring up to embarrass himself.
What's your favorite That's So Raven episode? Hey, where are you going? Come back. Has that ever happened?
No. Why do you make fun of him? You guys are somewhat similar.
We're not somewhat similar.
All right. What about when a woman says, I don't want to talk about it?
That means she wants to talk about it. But you have to figure out a way to make her talk about it because she does, but she doesn't, right? Is that correct?
I think you get it, Bill Leff.
I get it.
We have mentioned white lies that are good to be ignored. Now let's talk about white lies that you don't leave alone. When your girlfriend starts an argument with you and then abruptly bookends it with, I don't want to talk about it, then you know she's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Couples aren't supposed to walk away from arguments to let them ferment. Instead, couples need to be proactive in their approach to problem solving. If she says she doesn't want to talk about it, then give her some space before exploring the problem further. So you have to give women a lot of space. Is this what I'm hearing?
Yes. There's not. I don't know if there is enough space. You have to go into outer space to find enough space. Maybe that line should be, I don't want to talk about it, and then in brackets, now. Maybe you want to wait a couple of minutes or a half an hour or 5 or 6 days before you reapproach the problem. Maybe now isn't the best time to talk about whatever she says she doesn't want to talk about.
You know what is not on this list? It should be. Whenever a woman says, whatever, that's bad.
Always bad. Because that's like giving, that's like, let's just give up. Let's just take a
it's,
moment
she's
now
she's giving
and
up
give
because
up.
She's not going to change your mind, and right. It's frustration, and it's just whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And then really quickly, I know there's a classic one that we have not mentioned.
We could do a whole segment on this, but yes, go ahead.
These are the 6 most dangerous words in the English language. Do I look fat in this? Do not answer that question.
No, that's not true, because I'll tell you right now, if I ask Jim, if I try something on and say, does this look good?
Yeah.
If he takes too much time looking at it, then I know the answer. Because I
just
say,
by the
be
time element?
Honest.
Yeah.
And he will very nicely say, I like that other outfit you have.
That's diplomatic.
Because I don't want to go out and feel self-conscious and then hate my choice like when I'm already out.
Right.
So if I say, listen, I'm telling you, but I don't say, do I look fat in this? Because I don't want to hear the answer.
Don't
so I just say
that.
Does this look okay?
Yeah.
And sometimes he will go, I like that other thing you have.
That's the best way to do it.
And I don't even think he knows what other thing.
Right.
But it's just general, why don't you try something else on?
I know I've told you this before, but whenever my wife, if we're going somewhere, she'll go, what should I wear? And I'm so general with this answer. I go, wear that one, you know, the one outfit you wore. And then I just leave it up in the air and she'll go, the blue one? Yeah, that's the best one. Put the blue one on.
But see, the blue one,
great idea.
The blue one makes her feel good because she's the one who brought that
right,
up.
Right.
So
but you're using a Jedi mind trick to make.
And you make fun of my husband?
You are smart.
Thank you.
Seriously?
I'm telling you, there's no difference. I'm making fun of myself is what I'm doing.
Well, then make the fun of yourself, not him.
A quick break, and then we'll find out what Ro and Anna have coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.